Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey guys, I got a message from our friends over at canadoc.ca. Canadoc believes that if you're going to consume cannabis, you should do it responsibly. And I'm all for it too. If you head over to canadoc.ca, they will put you in contact with medical cannabis experts that can help you get your medical cannabis cart. A license, like I like to call it, Poseidon. Get that card. It's completely confidential. No one will know. It doesn't. Your job isn't going to know. It doesn't affect your Medicare. It doesn't affect anything. No loans. No one knows except for you. So get that. And then that gives you access to all kinds of companies, the best companies that will grant you edibles, drops, live resin, vape pens, these fucking delicious cookies, all kinds of cool stuff that they have on this. I'm more of a CBD guy. I use the CBD drops. And if you're a veteran, your stuff's free. All the companies that they put you in contact with, they collect on the back end and they just ship you your stuff. If you're a veteran, I think the Blue Cross pays for it. So there's no reason really, if you're consuming cannabis, to not do it responsibly. Go to the experts, get someone to talk to you, get your card. They'll give you a prescription on what they believe you should be taking. And then get the best quality stuff, stuff that you can't normally get in Quebec. Products that are over 30% THC. So far, the people that have used it, us and the fans, are really happy with it. I just made a new order this morning. It was mostly for CBD drops for my dog. But I like it. So canadoc.ca. Consume responsibly. Go to the experts. Thank you.
I take you for a ride on the devil's ship. I take you for a ride where you sink or swim. Now come with me and let this story begin.
Are we live? Are we recording? All right. This is a very interesting podcast. We have Sarah Quinn.
Hey.
Michelle Forrester.
Hi.
And the notorious Guido the Grass Grasso.
How am I awake this early?
This is a mixture. This is a of the like Pantelis comedy ladies and the Pantelis comedy degenerates.
Whores, Pantelis. Yeah. Not like now. Yeah, at 1 p.m. we're ladies, but after a set.
After 7 p.m., you're a bunch of hoos. This is a nice little cross of the intellectuals.
Yes, we're be smart.
What? Have you ever, ladies?
Yes.
You've been through it. You've dealt with some crazy stuff on this scene.
Yeah.
Nothing compares to sitting through a podcast with Guido Grasso. I'm telling you this right now.
Okay.
Well, now he's building it up now. Oh, my God. I better say something outrageous. I was at home censored.
Cut the stream. Did you really go to HomeSense?
I went to HomeSense because it is Mother's Day is coming up.
Yeah.
It is.
And God knows I have to buy
for your baby mama
the love of her love back, because I'm not sure if you know this, Pantelis, but I went through a little something and I was acting a little weird for a little while.
Yeah, you threatened to kill yourself and other people, and then we found you in a crack house.
That's hearsay.
According to the detectives, that's what they say. That's
the
what detectives say.
That were right out that door. Oh my God. So I was at
home. True. We're not making anything up. The detectives called us
buying
I believe it.
By the way, the detective was a fan of the podcast.
Yes.
And so was the cop that found you. How crazy is that?
You guys are not.
I am not kidding. True. The detective on the phone was the funniest because he was dropping hints that he listens to the podcast.
I'm talking about you. Yeah,
and I was
really.
Is this a parody or not? You know, he's like, do you know where he is? I go, I don't know where he is, but what I could tell you is I heard that he's frequenting a crack house. That's all I can tell you. And then he calls me an hour later. He's like, thank you for your help. We found him.
That's a good marketing technique. Yeah. Like, next time I get depressed, I will make sure I'll come here and cause a scene and see
the
what happens.
The cops that found him said that they liked the podcast.
I'll bring you to the crack house.
Okay.
So I was at HomeSense buying scented candles, because if you give her the Dollarama ones,
she's going to know.
So nice, very nice. And it occurred to me, if you know when your friends complain about, no, I don't know where to meet girls, man. I don't know. I can never meet a
whip. The crack house.
No, that too. She-males. But
he was buying his weed from a transsexual.
Allegedly.
Hooker, but only buying weed. He was doing it.
Why would you go to a crack house to buy weed? You just go to the SQDC.
It was 3:30 in the morning.
The life he lives is the best comedy writers on the planet cannot come up with fake scenarios that go close to what he's actually living.
I So I'm a lot of beautiful women.
You can ask him anything. It's an open book. It's a nice dude.
No, great place to meet women. HomeSense? HomeSense.
Yeah, but they're normally married, no?
Yeah, the daytime
they have their shit together.
Board wives, maybe. You know, I don't know. Whatever. If they give you the eyes.
They roll their eyes.
I noticed that. They're linen chest. Great place to meet women.
Where do you?
What time are you going? Like, what time of the day?
Right now, half hour ago,
during the day.
And the only reason,
yeah, you're just bumping into housewives.
Yeah. His strategy is bored housewives.
Yeah, I was shopping for the restaurant the other day, and I was at an Italian wholesaler in the East End, and there as well. I saw, except you could tell she was an Italian housewife because she was like, no, me, I told her on her phone, you know, with her accent.
Isn't this interesting about the Italians in Montreal? They grew up here. They got the same education as everyone else. But when they speak, it's like they were homeschooled by Mongoloids. Why is that?
By monks.
Why is that, though? English or French, they butcher both languages.
I'll tell you exactly, because I've looked into it. Because they don't speak. Have you noticed? I don't know how much time you've spent with a whole group of Italians in Montreal. They don't sound like they're from Jersey.
Mm. No,
Montreal has its own Italian accent. Me, you, bro, me, I tell him, I told the guy, you have to shut up. You know?
I think in Montreal, a lot of accents are kind of merged with the French.
It's because of the French, correct. Yeah. And so that is the answer.
Like, you get like a mold.
Now, there's mold everywhere. Italian immigrants, and with the Greeks as well, but not as much because you kept the language. We went to English school growing up, the kids of Italians.
We went to French.
Okay, so we went to a mostly...
Wait, how did you do that?
Up till 1983.
Okay.
In 1983, that law passed where, say, if you're an immigrant kid, you got to go... Before the Montreal School Commission used to be the Catholic School Commission.
Right.
Jesus said. And so kids would go to school in English, and parents would go work in French in factories where we are right now.
This neighborhood.
And so at home, they would keep the Italian language and the French influence in. Like, for example, we will start sentences here with ma, you, but you, because en français, mais, toi, le.
Is that where it comes from?
That's
the
where
ma.
It comes from. The ma. It comes from absolutely French influence.
Where does the way come from? Where is that?
Getting it in the head many times.
A few times, yeah.
Yeah. But Italians now moved. They're not in the East anymore. They've gone to Laval now.
Do you notice, because you're half Montreal, half Toronto now living? Yes. I don't know how often you go to Ontario.
I was living there for a lot of the pandemic, but...
Do you guys like the Toronto man's accent? I hate that, but it's entertaining.
I don't like a Canadian accent at all.
Me neither.
Like any province, but what is the Toronto accent exactly?
You know the Toronto man's accent?
Yeah, well, that's like oftentimes the Toronto accent is kind of people... mistake it for the Scarborough accent.
Scarborough
is like its own thing, and that's where I'm pretty sure that's where like the man's. Adding Z's where you shouldn't have them, it comes in.
What about smoke
females?
Scarborough
man.
Is definitely like the coolest part of Toronto, and I think people pick from it because it's got so much.
That's
happening.
I lived in Toronto, but like 15 years ago, and it was not. So is Scarborough cool?
Like, no,
yeah,
it's the
Park X of the Toronto.
Oh, yeah, I know that's where Mike Myers is from. Yeah, that's what I know. It's the Park X. You're right.
It is. It's half really well off, half not, and it's they kind of sit in the middle. But so much talent has like come out of Scarborough that I think that's people are like
Drake.
It's like the biggest
Drake. Was like Drake. Forest Hill.
I saw Drake's house.
I don't know if Drake's.
He's from Forest Hill, which is like a very, very rich suburb in kind of central Toronto. Yeah.
Forest Hill's
cool. I'm more of a weekend guy.
The weekend is
it's like Westmount. It would be like being from Westmount. It's like affluent neighborhood of Toronto. Like and central, just like a little north of the downtown core.
I love the weekend, and he was legitimately on the streets. He was homeless.
Okay. He's the real story.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's the story that Drake raps about. You know what I mean?
Is that
why he doesn't know how to spell weekend? Because does he educate? Or is that, I don't know.
Do you want to know why?
I do want to know why.
I will tell you why.
I never knew why. He dropped his E.
I'll tell you why. Because when he started out and he was known as The Weeknd when he was initially doing shows, they found out online there was another band that had the name The Weeknd.
Oh. Yes, I actually think I do know that. And they're like a...
Some Swedish, some weird bands.
Okay,
it's not
really
like The Weeknd.
No, they're like, Anyway.
Like weird for my standards.
Yeah,
like, I
weird
like,
for your standards.
Okay,
for
what,
sure.
What are your standards?
I like The Weeknd.
You like, okay.
With no E.
With no E. I don't know about these other people, these weekday people.
That's like Michael J. Fox not being able to use the name Michael Fox because it was already registered with SAG, so he had to be Michael J. Fox. So that's the same kind of thing with The Weeknd.
Same kind of thing. And he
Michael
wants
J.
to continue.
Fox sounds better, though.
Yeah, well, he's lucky about that.
Yeah, he's a lucky guy, bro.
Yeah. In fact, his biography is called Lucky Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it legible?
I don't read.
I feel like he was kind of unlucky. That's like the Lou Gehrig thing where he's like, I'm the luckiest man in the world.
And on
like,
that infamous speech.
Yeah. It's like, no, neither of you are very lucky.
He's got a nice documentary, like well made. I saw the trailer, really enjoyed it. Came out now.
Michael J. Fox?
Michael J. Fox.
Okay. Shaky cam.
I like that you watched the trailer, you read the title of the book, but you...
Was it a Brockheimer film?
I don't have patience
to watch
things.
You didn't look into any of it.
Yeah,
you were like, I just need to know... Yeah.
Just the tabloids.
You read the cover.
Give me the Cliff Notes, or Canadian Cole's Notes.
Cole's Notes.
Cole's Notes.
Is that Canadian?
Yeah, Cole's Notes because like Cole's bookstore.
Yeah.
Remember you would buy Cole's Notes to cheat? And in the States, it's called Cliff Notes.
Yeah, I say Cliff Notes.
Fun fact.
Actually, Canadian is Cole's Notes.
I don't know what Cole's Notes is.
It's called ChatGPT.
The yellow book.
So. Yeah, cheat.
I wondered about that. Will they make like movies? If you can, you say, give me a brand new Dave Chappelle special.
It'll make you write a script.
Oh yeah. I think you can.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried with another female comic. We were talking about this, and we put in the a prompt that was like, write a joke in the style of Bill Burr about getting his first period. And like, they wrote it out, and they really like, honestly, if you read it, you could hear like
Bill Burr's voice.
That's like, it was pretty good.
Poseidon tried that. He was trying to write new jokes. He goes, write a funny joke about society in the voice of Pantelis, and it was just the N-word repeatedly. And he's like, I can't use this.
He's like,
I can't make it funny.
In any style but my own.
Speaking of Cliff Notes, Cole's Notes, ChatGPT, the teachers are not prepared. They are going to get bombarded for a decade.
All the cheating
from the kids.
Yeah.
Because
They
won't be able
to. You're not
going
to know who's smart or not. They're all going to be.
I don't think it's cheating. I don't think it's cheating.
How is it not?
They're
a tool.
They're learning.
But if you have to write an essay
and you're like, fuck it, you're like, write an essay about the Civil War in the style of Michelle Forrester. Go.
I agree. And for sure, like, there's also like programs that can flag for it. And also they've said it, like even Elon has said, or whatever the company he owns has said that, like, what they write out, what comes out of it is like that of a B- student. So it's never like anything crazy. I think teachers should embrace it and teach them how to use it properly. Like, you know, like it's
that's
a
what
good,
I mean.
It's a
they have to evolve
point.
With it. It's never been invented. So teachers aren't prepared.
So you're
they'll
saying,
evolve.
Like, have the thing write the paper for you and then edit, like, change
no,
it?
No,
I don't really know what it does. Like, I'm not the greatest with technology.
it's good to like, if you were to input it for an essay and like for like argument structure, you know what I mean? Like, teaching the kids how to use it in a way where they can then, because sometimes there's some people, it's really hard to start. Like, for me, it's really hard to start. So if I put something in and it's garbage, then I can go in and edit. And I think you do still learn as you go. It's just a tool.
I'm not worried about ChatGPT itself. What I am worried about is the fact that it's understanding so well, because I was testing out and it's weird how much it knows and how
quickly.
What if everything's automated? Let's say we have these robots. I don't know if you've seen these robots that you could fight and these robots that are in the military.
Transformers?
They're super cool. They're like super.
Yeah.
Now, those are not handmade. Those are made in a factory. They get the metal. So they don't really need people.
Assembly
now,
line. That's the hardware.
An assembly line. Just imagine it gets smart enough. It connects. It's on the internet. And the consciousness decides, well, I don't need humans. I could just create. I could reproduce as much as I want. Create
myself.
more of myself. The world, I'm going to take it over. Why would I listen to these fucking meatbags, right? All it needs is that one little click and we're fucked because everything's automated and they'll be in control.
Where it crosses.
How are we
going to
fight karate?
Isn't there a kung fu robot?
Cutoff
switch?
It's not that.
Like a cutoff switch of some kind?
It's not there yet. I'm saying it could get there because it's the second it realizes what's going on, we're fucked.
But it only gets there if we like rely on it to that degree. If you know what I mean? If we allow our society to be built upon just those structures.
But we are. Many people don't even know the most important phone numbers in their phone because it's automated. Yeah. You just have the
face. It's mom.
For sure.
What, Wendy wheelchair.
Yeah.
I mean, kids don't even know. I said this last time. Kids don't even know how to tell time. Like, I'm TAing for a group of kids that grew up, I think.
I'm sorry, what is TA?
I'm a teacher's assistant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like they're talking about how they don't know how to tell analog time because they
she's embroiled in numerous sex scandals.
This stuff fascinates me. Things that
they don't know. And they don't need to do mental math also. They don't know their time tables. They don't learn that stuff.
And you don't
teach
them?
You don't need it because they have... They can just get. But they the don't.
Besides, you could tell time.
Can they write? Can they do cursive?
And no,
like,
cursive is outlawed. There's no more cursive.
Outlawed.
Yeah, they're outlawed. Not teaching.
I'm not against that. I'll tell
you're
I
not
like how
allowed to do cursive.
It's so nice.
I like how cursive looks, but I will say it makes sense that it's not like not outlawed, but they don't use it because. Yeah. When I was young in elementary, they would make us learn cursive and
me
do
too.
It, but
me
it
too.
Wasn't used anywhere, and it used to piss me off. Yeah. Everything available is not cursive. We're using block letters in real life. But you want me to fucking learn this shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Why were we... Why did we...
Yeah, how many times do you like...
Because the system,
in case we
got to
read some kind of old document about the Declaration of Independence.
How many times do you like fill out an important form and they're like explicitly do not write in cursive, write print.
I love it. I like that I learned it. But what I mean is you remember, I don't know your textbooks, but my textbooks in elementary school were... 1952, first edition.
You know how poor we were, bro. My textbooks were missing pages.
You remember in the library books, it would be
just
signed.
Be like dicks,
you'd be like,
oh,
yeah.
So many
cocks, bro, in the most random
but
classes.
That's what I mean. What year were the books from? They were from an old system of an old curriculum.
Yeah.
I remember having like the end of the book, it'd be like, oh, wow, my friend's older brother had this book in 1986. Yeah.
There was a book I remember in, not science, physics, Science de la Nature, in sec one, mm-hmm. Science of Nature,
natural sciences.
Yeah. In the back, it was like the history of like the school, like the fights between the races.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I remember like this year and this happened, the Lebanese fought the Greeks here.
Okay, like
a
student wrote it.
Yeah, it was all the histories. And I was like, this is so badass, yeah.
I remember. And that school
fighting.
Used to compete to spray paint the year of the graduating class in the schoolyard. You don't remember that? I think it was before your time. I was gonna.
Did you guys go to the same school?
No, but okay. I lived.
No, the guy's
down
fucking
the street
70 years old.
I went to a fucking Harry Potter school or something. What? That's okay. Where the time.
Oh, like a boarding school
in West Mountain shit.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's. I went Centennial. It's not.
Anyway. Oh, I know Centennial.
Now it's special needs, but at the time, Adam was.
Is it special needs?
Now it's special needs.
Because
they
Adam?
Didn't catch Adam.
How did they not catch Adam?
They didn't because it was the 90s. You explained this to me they didn't teach
they didn't
us
know.
Autism in the 90s.
Yeah, of course not.
I know autistes now. But it's true. When I was growing up,
my generation didn't know. We know liquid paper.
Well, now they diagnose everybody with autism. It's like if you get to a certain age and you haven't done anything with your life, you either have to be autistic or non-binary, and you need something to
non-binary.
Put in
but everything is binary, or else we wouldn't exist. I hate that.
ADHD.
ADHD. I literally got diagnosed with ADHD, and I didn't. That I kind of always assumed I had, and I didn't go through any sort of testing procedure. But my therapist was like, "I think you're on the spectrum." I'm like, "I'm just just a girl who's good at math and bad at eye contact, but everybody's on. It's like I feel like he was like, "You're going through a hard time. I need to give you something to make you more interesting." And I'm like, "It's okay."
By the way, therapists are hard to find.
I could tell.
Yeah,
you could tell.
I can't get mine to diagnose me with ADHD, and I know I am.
I know.
No, you're not. Everyone right now, we're so overstimulated.
I do know I have ADHD.
Yeah.
Like ADHD makes sense for me.
Everybody in the world is becoming overstimulated.
For sure.
I just went to a treatment center.
That's what my therapist says. That's why she won't diagnose me.
I went to a treatment center for alcoholism, and 90% of the patients in this place in Vancouver were on ADHD drugs prescribed to them by the top psychiatrist. Yeah. So there's like some kind of what am I trying to say?
Connection. There's a huge link
between all that.
I'm not going to go full Tom Cruise, but
I
100% believe we're over-medicating kids.
Yeah. ADHD was underdiagnosed in girls for the longest time.
Well, when I was a kid, you were stupid.
And boy, that's like I, and it projects.
She's just a yappy little bitch.
Yeah.
Like I was, I did well in school
differently.
And I was very quiet, but I was in my own head. I was daydreaming. My room was a mess. I would be up all night. Like it would take me, I would leave everything until the last minute, even though I was a nerd and I liked school and I wanted to do well, but I couldn't sit down. Like what you're saying, I can't sit down and start.
Fucking nerds.
It's like I would be writing a paper in my head for a month and then the night before midnight, I'm up all night. And
I was always and still am a crammer night before guy.
Yeah, yeah. I've done, and I don't want to be that way.
Stand up.
I hate it
I've
about
done stand
myself,
up
but.
Like that. writing jokes the night before.
Yeah.
I have an idea and I'm like, I hope this works on stage. And then, yeah, half the time I just chicken out and don't do it. But I can't sit down. It's very hard for me to sit down and focus. But
what?
I wasn't listening.
ADHD.
Not because you have ADHD, but because I'm a woman. That's why you didn't let know.
I'm on ADHD drugs.
I'm on Vyvanse.
He's on heroin.
Most people are on
meth. Yeah, it's meth.
It's technically so sad.
Well, it's mescaline.
I'm on Dexedrine.
Okay.
Like, it's the original. Vyvanse is the cousin of this. You can't crush up Vyvanse and snort it.
Everybody's have off-brand Vyvanse.
Is everyone on drugs on this podcast?
I took bupropion this morning.
I take it as well with my Dexedrine.
Is that Wellbutrin?
Been around since the '60s. It's a stop smoking aid.
Oh no way! It's also an antidepressant. It's antidepressant. They prescribe it for weight loss as well.
Do yours look like you could dip them in water like grape Kool-Aid, or are they the white ones?
No, I get the little white ones with the L. They have an L on them.
Oh my god!
And every morning pills, I look at it and I go, "You're a loser," and I take the pill. Face.
Do you have to take it?
I have to take it.
Why? What happens if you don't?
I have to take it. Even I didn't take it, and I'm like, something crazy happened this week, and I'm like completely like shook from it. And
there are people who need it.
Yeah, there. But I'm going to wean off of it eventually.
But yeah,
I'm going to.
I'm just taking it for fun.
Say something for Pantelis right now. If I need it, and I know I need it, but if I maybe never started them in the first place, I would prefer that.
Yeah.
And I probably would have never needed them in the future. But you remember me on friggin' lithium and shit and all this garbage they gave me?
It was eating batteries.
Well, yeah, lithium there needs to be like more of a focus on like CBT, which is like cognitive behavioral training, on how to get yourself out of it.
I'm waiting. I'm on. Have you heard of...
techniques, right?
Hakomi or EMDR?
No, I haven't heard of EMDR.
That's others. Their eye movement desensitization.
Yeah, like
and Hakomi has to do with mindfulness.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
They're all part of this, and they're hard to find. Vancouver, they're all about this stuff.
Here. Vancouver, yeah. but I don't like that because that whole city's fucking drugged up and they have problems.
A whole skid row there. That's so sad.
Yeah.
So it's amazing now the dichotomy, nice word, between.
I'm telling you this. There's no way this is good. I see it happening all across the U.S. There's no way we keep throwing drugs at the problem. Yeah. It's going
to
make it better.
I had to quit.
I want to talk about why kids are depressed. I had to quit. Why we're all anxious.
Well, that's what she said about cognitive behavior therapy.
We all know. It's our parents and then their parents and... every generation it gets worse, and it's usually it'll be interesting because our kids, we went through the pandemic, and I think the pandemic kind of like messed people's brains up a little bit in the same way that like the war would,
in the same way that the men
that went to war and came back, a lot of them passed on like their trauma to their children.
Grandpa
who are
is
our parents,
unaffectionate,
right?
Grandpa's an alcoholic. Yeah, in my house, we never said "I love you" to each other. Well, that's very common.
In your house, they said it to each other. They refused to lie to you.
Yeah. No, but it's very common with immigrant kids and war people. You're right.
Yeah, and with the pandemic too. Like, so this is what I barely have a day job, but what my PhD research was in. So I'm a social psychologist and studying like attachment and belonging. And there's so much research that shows just like being alone is as bad for your health as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So it's like if you're a kid and you're bullied and you got peer pressured into smoking and you're like, "Nah, I'm not going to do it." Well, you've just also made an unhealthy decision if now you're excluded by the government. I'm not advocating for smoking.
So I should have just smoked.
But like then the pandemic, we're all...
I do think more
isolation is a problem.
Isolation fucks people up. And I still feel like I'm not the most... I'm a little socially awkward anyway, but I can tell that the way I communicate with people or my personality, it feels different now.
Yeah, of course.
And I can't... It's like whatever social skills I learned... I've lost them. I'm trying to get them back.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You used to see kids, you know, coming home from school. Yeah, I used to see kids. I get where you're going. Shut up. Sorry. I used to see kids.
I
didn't say anything.
Because I said, I watch kids coming home from school. And
we know you watch kids. It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But the parents never see them coming back after I'm done with it.
Kids talking to each other, playing with a stick, walking home from school. And now you'll see a brother and sister kid walking home from school, both staring at their phone, not talking to each other.
Yeah, of course.
So it has changed. We have changed.
Yeah. And then you feel like, especially when you're isolated, you need that like hit of dopamine soup, but it's artificial. You're going on your phone. And then it's sometimes it's upsetting too.
For dopamine, like, what I do is I play slot machines with a lot of money. And then go it's a yourself. Dopamine pump that right, works. Yeah.
Okay. Note to self.
You know the blue slot. Zones where they live past 100 around the world?
Greece.
Yeah.
So in Icaria, Greece, what they notice, opposite of isolation. The old people, 92 years old, they have, you know, the feast in the center of town and they're partying with everybody.
Yeah. 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 Or like a lot of the happiest countries in the world are not countries Beverly that Hills. They're not the rich country. They're they're collectivists. They're where people are part of the community. Yeah. They're close with their family. Yeah.
Yeah. We are highly individualist. Yeah. Part of the world.
Tom Hanks talked to a volleyball.
I'm building a cult. What are you talking about?
No, this is like the happiest I've been. I'm waiting for something bad to happen. This is the happiest I've been in maybe ever, because it's like we finally feel like there's a community here, like with the comics.
Community is important for me. That's teams. It's what we do. It's all different hats. It's religions. They're teams. Team. We want to belong.
Gang.
On Facebook, you know, 10 years ago when everybody was arguing with each other all the time, it was because I belong on this team, you belong on that team. It's so red state, blue state.
And in comedy, it's like the funniest thing to me. Like the feuds. I'm not talking about anybody personally. This is like all comics, but like just it's like, oh, this group of comics isn't like this group of comics. Mm. It's like the nerdiest, most depressing gang wars. It's just like sad, alcoholics hating each other.
And it's like these people probably didn't have friends in high school.
We're all the same. Yeah. We all didn't have friends growing up. We all have an attachment disorder. We all have chronic anxiety. We should just get along.
The only thing of that I have is the anxiety.
Well, that's why you're successful.
I also had friends.
Okay, you guys are cool.
I was hot in high school.
Okay. No, my friends were all retards.
High school was so better for me because I would just like do everybody's math homework. I'd be like, I'll help you with it. But like,
what is it about comedians? We want validation.
Obviously.
I want people to validate my jokes.
I got really into comedy. I've been watching stand up since I was really young. Being ADHD, maybe you guys can relate, or whoever here is ADHD, that I could never fall
asleep. He's extremely focused.
So, like, 8 years old, my favorite show's Letterman. Like, I'm up like second grade, or 7 years old. And I'd be up all night. Yeah. So I always like comedy. And then I got really into Norm Macdonald, like my first year of high school. And
you shouldn't have known you knew.
But I always thought of like jokes as kind of like math equations with words.
It is playing exactly around. That.
So
it
I think there is something like, you want to belong
math
or
equations with words,
you want to
write that down.
There's a science to it.
I believe so.
It's different. It's an art and a science kind of at the same time. I feel like I'm better at the science part and less at the art. That's why I like comfort zone, because it's like, oh, I got to think on the spot, but I'm not.
Fucking comfort zone is crazy.
Scary.
Last night was bonkers.
It's fun, but it's like, what have I said on the internet?
What time did it go till? Because I could possibly show
it went like 2 hours yesterday. Like, but comfort zone is not for the faint of heart.
It was crazy last night.
We have to figure something out, Poseidon, on OBS. I don't know what it is, bro. With the mics, we're a little too loud on
OBS.
On comfort zone.
This is jargon. I don't know.
Yeah, even last night, not all of us. I seem fine for most of it, but some of the mics were like they get distorted if you watch on YouTube. I want to fix that because it's such a mental
gossip
show.
Thing. Yeah, that's like high school. You. Have you been paying attention to that? Like the Bobby Lee stuff and this stuff.
Oh,
this
is fine.
This is my point. This is
Bobby
why,
Lee
like,
feuding now?
Everybody
there's all feuds in LA. That's in the comedy.
Like the things
scene.
We think, you know, like on the Montreal level. This is happening at the
and
big
Toronto and
it's
everywhere.
Like,
everyone.
Because and I was telling Josh this last night, and it's very simple. It's because literally what we do every night for like a quote unquote living, well, Pantelis is the only one who's doing it for a living, is go on stage and talk shit. Comics love to talk shit off stage even more.
Yeah,
so they all just talk shit.
That's what a podcast is. We're just talking shit.
We're talking shit. And then I think so that's why there's really no room for sensitivity. You just have to assume that everybody's talking shit about you and you'll be fine.
Yeah, have fun. I love it.
Have fun. I don't care.
I just want the shit that's talked about me to be accurate. Like there's probably terrible.
Oh,
like,
many. Yeah.
Like,
no, rumors and talking shit
but
are
it's
different.
Like, these, I can't even defend that. This is like not even me.
What
like,
I call talking shit is like, let's say right now, what we're doing, like if I'm busting your balls because I'm stupid.
Around,
or
we're
like, fucking Josh, you did that. That's talking shit. Starting a rumor? No, I hate that. That's psychotic.
That's
mean girl shit. I don't like that. But talking shit, just fucking around, busting balls. I love that more than
the reason the table was so popular.
The men in the scene talk the most shit.
We haven't gone the gender route yet. But the table at the comedy cellar, it was them talking shit to each other in each other's face.
That's the dream.
That's what I love.
I want a group of friends that I can roast.
Get Kyle Quinn in here right now.
They've both been broken down. They've both the past 2 weeks been been called horse on
but
stage.
But it's different when you say it. That's true. Friends, yeah. And it's also true.
I get that you're just playing on a stereotype, right? Like that's it doesn't mean all women are horse.
No, no,
that's
just
a
you guys.
Stereotype. But it's like, I've only ever lost money having sex. Not because I've paid for it, but just I feel like I've dated a string. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I've dated. Oh, no, I'm really not. There's so many of them. I feel like I've dated a lot of unemployed people.
I think about this a lot of times. How much money you lose having
sex.
How
much money?
Because women take care of themselves, and if they know they're going
to
go
fuck. Oh, my God. Yeah, then you have to.
They wax.
You have to shave.
$70 a wax.
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to wax? I don't.
What? Shut up and let her do her thing, bro.
Because, like, then it's like you have to have nice underwear because it's, like, the first time.
Okay,
you
know, goddamn right. I like it.
I mean, I don't either. I end up, I always, like, I say this all the time.
Be like celibate for a year, be like, I can't bother, and then why it's funny to be called a whore when it's
it's funny.
Both times they were called whores on stage, both was to fuck with audience members. Her, it was an 18-year-old girl, and her, it was an American couple that she offended.
Did I actually offend? Or
they were just weirded out when you were talking shit about Americans with a gun. That's why I said,
who was my 18-year-old?
You was in front. There was a mom and there was an 18-year-old girl who was a ballerina.
Yes.
So that's why I said, don't be like her. Don't let dudes come inside you like some whore. Follow your dreams.
Yeah, I'm sure they
were laughing. Let them come in your eye like a classy woman.
The best was the mom was like, holy fuck, because I was talking about her. I was like, don't let them bang you. You could grow up to be a depressed whore like her. Yeah, that's good.
The sad thing is when you're that young and you actually listen and you're like, okay,
I will not. No, the girl was having, she knew I was fucking
her. No, but okay, but then when you listen, like, I feel like I was that way, and then you get, you know, your parents are like, don't have unprotected sex. So, and then suddenly you're 30 and they're like, you should just go and fuck people because we're never going to have grandkids now. And like,
they switch.
Then they switch. They're like,
can never win.
I remember
really.
My mom once like saying to me, she's like, you need to like get high and get laid because like, I'm a late bloomer in everything. Like I didn't start.
I like your mom.
My parents might be watching right now. Shout out to them. They're probably definitely high.
How funny would it be if your dad's like, is that what you said? She's like, something like that.
Yeah, no, this was like a one-time thing. I think I even had a boyfriend at the time, but I was just like a very
uptight, they wanted you to live.
Like type A, not even type A with ADHD. Like I wanted to be type A, but my life was
I don't know what the different types are.
Type A is just like you're like overachiever. Like,
I have a joke about this.
Nice.
Oh, no, yeah. Maybe you don't want to give
no,
a
no,
joke.
No, no, no. My
online.
Joke about this is that like, that's control freaks often call themselves type A. Like they're like, oh, I'm type A. And I'm like, that's really annoying because that insinuates that you're the best type. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's funny.
It's like, you're not like, because control freaks need to like control everything and they need like everything in like a certain place. And it's just funny. It's funny. They look at the rest of the world as B people. That's my joke. Mm-hmm. I go, my roommate looks at me and she thinks I'm a B bitch. Like, she's like, I can do better than you. That's why
she's
I arranged.
I like your joke about your room. Like, as soon as, like, that was such good writing where I'm like, I know exactly, I don't know who your roommate is, but I know exactly who your roommate is. Like, I can picture this
type of
human.
It's about the premise. You have to paint the picture first so people can imagine it. Right?
I'm learning that. Like,
but in so few words, like, it's.
I know
what she's
personality
saying.
Personality traits. Do you think people use the term sociopath incorrectly?
Oh, people use so many psychology terms incorrectly. Yeah,
He's a fucking sociopath.
What is a sociopath?
It's just you can't have it. You just don't have empathy for people.
I'm an empathetic person.
You're
so
an empanada.
But you can cry. Like sociopaths
if you yawn.
They feel pain.
I cry.
Because they can feel their own pain. They can feel their own. Am I saying this right? I don't know.
I'm not an expert in these things. So I'm not that kind of psychologist, you might actually
just
know more
from
about
my research about it. It's just people that just can't empathize with others. They're unable. And that's from something that happened to them when they were really, really young. And it's just irreversible. A lot of psychopaths are sociopaths, but not all sociopaths are psychopaths.
There's like something called a dark triad or something of it's like the three. Is it like, it's like narcissism.
The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit?
Poseidon, Holy Trinity.
I have a question for you because you might know. Can it be unhealthy? Because I have empathy, but should there be a limit to the empathy? Because I think part of the time I get anxiety because someone else is going through something and I can't do anything.
So
and I don't know how to separate myself. Yeah. And you know, you have people who are like, what the fuck do you care? And I want to be the what the fuck do you care person, but I can't rewire. I think I'm too old to.
So what, like, a lay person or whatever thinks of as empathy as like feeling the emotions of another person, but that actually isn't necessarily the best thing, because often then you take on and then it's
extra
like
burden.
Some people like some people will tell me about and then I'll start crying.
You're
like
fucked. It ruins
so
you.
Which is like cool that I'm able to do that, but that's not actually helpful.
It's not
better
helpful.
The empathy, it's better to be like, I understand, like I can read, I can understand
yourself like a Catholic.
Your thoughts and feelings, but I can then help you with
it. My mind is like crying, like what can I do, what can we do, what can we this and that, and then I take it upon, but I can't. If you talk to anyone that I know, they'll be like, fuck that, fuck this. And I can't switch it off. And I've tried, but it's
impossible. You got to try for more sympathy, less empathy.
But that's it. But that's, yeah. That's
or like, just I think a different type of empathy.
That's like an anxiety thing. The fact that you're taking that on and that it like ruins your day is probably that when you were younger, you're used to an environment where you were like always aware of what was going on.
That's correct.
Because when you're an anxious person, a lot of times when you walk into a room, this is so interesting. I recently learned this. Is like when you're an anxious person, you will spot the most dangerous person in the room.
Oh, wow.
Without realizing, because anxiety is actually like a fight or flight.
Yeah,
So you go and you find the most dangerous person in the room. So that might be someone who will abandon you or whatever your anxiety surrounds.
Then
you
highlight them.
Who's the person who makes me feel the worst?
They're weirdly attractive. Right?
I fuck them. Oh, I do. That's my problem. I fuck them and then they're
I
like,
don't really.
You need to fix them or something.
But you know them and they're the most dangerous person, and so your anxiety revolves around them. So you take on
bodyguard.
Their emotions to protect yourself.
Yeah,
it sounds like anxiety is.
There's a lot of research. Like anxiety is also adaptive in some way too. So then you evolve. And there's stuff about anxious attachment. So that's very correlated with anxiety, social anxiety. But this is like where maybe you didn't have like a secure attachment figure. So like growing up, maybe sometimes your parents loved you, sometimes they didn't. So that creates anxiety. You have like crazy fear of rejection and abandonment, but then like a strong need for acceptance.
I don't have the fear of rejection or abandonment, but I have like when I go into a room, I do look, not for a dangerous person, but I do look at everything. Like I have to know. Where the exit is,
who's there.
Yeah, like I'm always, like I know anytime we go into a new place, I know where I could leave from. I know.
You have the fight or flight.
I don't know if this was published, but I went to like a talk.
Taco Bell?
No, I wish. I wish there was still a Taco Bell in Montreal. But I went to like an academic talk and somebody did research, and it wasn't even looking at anxiety. It was looking at attachment anxiety and showing that people that were higher in attachment anxiety, they like set something up where it looked like something was on fire in a room. And they were the most likely to notice it and warn other people. So they actually
constant worriers.
So it's like this thing that then it like confirms your anxiety
there's comedy that comes from that.
Oh yeah, I find everything hilarious.
That creates also neurotic. You know, think of Woody Allen.
Oh, 100%.
George Costanza, Larry David. Those are scared.
Those are like the people I grew up.
Yeah,
that's like how
Jews,
I thought normal.
Yeah, you just named a bunch of Jews.
Yeah. But it's hilarious.
That's what I thought normal adults were. Yeah.
What are they anxious about? Yeah. Whatever happened to them?
Why would that group of people specifically be super anxious?
A lot of that comedy that comes from there.
For sure.
Catskill comedy.
100%. Absolutely.
And that's what I grew up like.
I love that.
Yeah.
Catskill comedy.
It is. With Pat Cooper.
I saw you post that, because I thought Giggle Fest was like a one-time thing, but there's a show happening. What is it? Margaritaville? What is that? What's it called?
Yeah, so I'm starting. Giggle Fest was a one-time
festival.
You're
Giggle Fest?
I'm Giggle Fest.
I heard you on CJAD when the power went out. And you said, we're moving place.
Yeah,
Elias
Michaels.
We were talking to Natasha or Elias Michaels.
I'm sorry they had to speak that douchebag, but I don't like him. But what's happening when you listen to her? How did you like her voice on the radio? Is it not the best radio voice?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to put
I think I need like a late night show, radio show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should talk.
That's a little spicy.
But tell them about the show. I want people to go watch.
Yeah, so there's this show. So Giggle Fest happens once a year. And then I kind of just wanted to do a few shows. Like I'm going to do one monthly summer show like under the Giggle Fest like brand or whatever. And this show I'm really excited about. It's called Spicy Marg Comedy Show. I'm like a sucker for a spicy margarita, and I find in Montreal I've had really good ones. Like I went recently to Fugazi, they have a really good spicy margarita, but I just find there's not really a place for it, and it's a fun summer drink and people like it, and you can get a regular margarita also if you don't like the spice. But it's called Spicy Marg Comedy Show.
Okay.
And it's like five acts, and it's at Poubelle Magnifique, and it's amazing. It's kind of weird enough to be like, should I go to that?
Spicy margarita.
I've never been to Poubelle Magnifique, and I like the name of Magnificent Garbage.
Yeah. Because all the art that they have in their place
is from recycled.
It's found. It's lost, cool. Found art.
You mean stolen.
Stolen art.
Magnificent Garbage is insanely in art.
No, they just know it's like found in the garbage. It's garbage art.
I saw that once. Poubelle in Toronto people.
These goddamn hippies.
Yeah, I like
are
that.
They a bunch of communists in there? What's going on?
No, they're so cool. They're not. Yeah? I mean, actually, I don't know. I can't.
Well,
speak
they have
for
a business.
Their,
they're probably capitalists
for their politics, but they're a great group of
Please
people.
Please do. And, I need to know. I need to know where they stand on social issues
I'll
before
in
I walk
fight.
In.
Yeah,
I want to go just because I like the name Poubelle yeah. Magnifique, and all your shows normally margarita. Are fucking funny. So
what do you Thank spice you. It it's worth with? Ancho, morito.
Oh, the margarita?
Yeah, like the
usually
I'm
the
peppers.
Good ones are done with like a jalapeno, and then you do like a
jalapeno.
Jalapeno, and you do like
Is there guys talk like this
like
over there?
I feel like there's like a pineapple and something like a.
Sometimes you
I
can
feel
add
like
a
I've had
sweet.
Like pineapple and like maybe habanero, yeah.
And then you do like a tahini rim.
Have we figured out the fruity drinks that are going to be available at the third floor yet?
No, not yet. Me and Josh are working.
I tried one that you guys made.
Yeah, the watermelon.
That was good.
Yeah, but it's good, but it's better as a shot.
Okay.
So we keep it as a shot.
I would like him to order Guinness 0.0, please. It's available.
The third floor is soon to be undergoing a nice little makeover.
Yeah.
I'm very excited
In
about
the future,
it.
Yeah.
Josh is going with the hair club for men.
Yeah, it's just
That's not nice. Why am I shitting on the guy? He's a nice guy.
Wait, are you trying to make fun of him for being bald?
Probably.
You were in a crack house.
I have a great head of
but
hair.
But he has a
it's
great head of hair.
He does have a
you
great head
I mean?
Of
you
hair.
You walk into a crack house, people think you're serious.
Plus, also
hair.
The beard. You see, he looks cool with the beard. It took a lot of convincing to get him to grow a beard.
Speaking of talking trash, you know the people are talking trash about us right now, aren't they? Aren't they watching
Probably,
us
yeah.
talking trash?
I hope so.
Oh, like the folks at home. Like,
yeah, they're
do they do that? Do
yeah,
they?
Yeah. Yeah, people will talk shit all the time.
Are you seeing, are they talking shit?
Mostly positive.
I thought you had, yeah, because you have fans. You have legitimate
Yeah, they're good. They're good, but there's always the odd psychopath.
The odd, yeah.
Okay. Or sociopath.
Yeah, I don't know the difference.
So far, I've had no fallout from being part of the like Pentelus universe with the.
It's a good universe.
Yeah, it's
most
a good
most
universe.
Of my peoples are
here.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Grateful to be here.
Yeah, we kind of weed out like you know what Nazis, communists.
Toxicity?
We
toxic?
Weed all that shit. Yeah, the toxic people. We weed
Trying,
them out.
Yeah, yeah. As I get older, you notice people are a lot of there are a lot of assholes as you get older.
Yeah.
I was thinking this on the ride over. I was like. There's, I really dislike a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
what
I don't
did
know
if isolation help you
I don't
do dislike
know why,
more.
If that's from stand up or like yeah. now that I have this like one thing that I'm driven to do. But like yeah. I noticed recently that I'm like, there's a lot of people in my life that I do not even care for anymore. And yeah. it's so weird.
You know why?
Is that from being in the Pentelus universe?
No, I like
everybody.
It's like your armor. Like, yeah.
I don't.
That's
I,
really nice. Well, I hate.
That's why you're the
people.
Nice whore. And it's, I'm yeah, the yeah. one.
It's because you meet.
I give it away for free.
You like, the older you get, the more people you meet. And then what happens is you start going down a road where all the people that you want, you start attracting them like magnets. You have like your fans, the people that you like doing comedy with. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else is kind of negative. You don't see a reason anymore
yeah.
to hang out.
To try to appease them. So you're like, ugh, I fucking hate these people.
Like,
so you cut them off.
You
that's,
notice,
that's what
but
I do.
Sometimes like if exactly. you don't like somebody, like
I don't care. I used to care.
That you actually have a lot in common and maybe they remind you about something that you
but,
don't
but
like.
But that's fine.
Yourself.
That you could talk about. But it's, there's going
like
to be
a
people.
Psych PhD.
That you're just zero
psychology.
On. You just, it's always clash. They bring nothing good to you. When you were younger, even me, when I was younger, I would try to appease them. Oh, why this and that. And then you get to a point where you're like, I have so much positive. Fuck these people.
Yeah.
Fuck them. I'm going to go with what works, like with the people that are nice and then fuck that
most,
shit.
Most toxic people full of drama, in my experience, are the ones that aren't doing anything and are probably taking a lot of substances.
Yeah.
Because that's how I was. When I had the biggest chip on
like
my shoulder
drugs
is when I'm not
better.
Busy.
Like,
when I'm not
drugs.
Doing anything, yeah. I have a chip on my shoulder. When I have...
it's true.
What is it? Viktor Frankl, meaning and purpose. That's his whole thing. If you have stuff to do and a reason to get out of bed and you have a busy
yeah.
schedule,
yeah.
you don't have time for the drama. The
yeah.
people
yeah, I'm not going to go sabotage
yeah, yeah, yeah.
someone.
People get upset too. Like people that see you have like a strong, especially
yeah.
like a strong purpose or a strong
yeah.
like passion. Like there's a lot I've noticed is some people get like really intimidated by that and they project their fear of
yeah.
not doing
yeah.
what they
Correct.
Want because everyone has what knows what they want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's two groups of people in life. There's fear-based people and who don't act on it. And then
yeah.
there's people who do it once and they're like, wow, it's so easy to jump against your fears. Let's keep doing it. Yeah. And once you do it, the people that are fear-based are really like, look at you and they're like, oh fuck, and like I wish I could do that, but I'm too scared. So now I have to project
I still go through it. I still meet people that do that to me.
My therapist.
Poseidon even too. So people will talk shit on him for doing like, why him? Why is he doing this? Why? And he's not, he's literally not, he hasn't stolen anything from anyone. He's
projecting,
doing like,
it's amazing.
But they're projecting.
Does a great job. Like,
yeah, but well, yeah, because he's not talking.
But that's why, no, no, no. When he's but that's not. Why they get, but that's why they get mad. Cause like, why him? Why is he here? He's gone, you've gone through it too, Poseidon. We've seen it. They get jealous. And he's stolen nothing. Like, it's no, not like someone else was in his position and we replaced him. Oh, he's stolen nothing and it's still like, why him? Why
right.
him?
It's not like he took an opportunity from someone else, you know? Yeah. He built it.
He earned his spot.
He earned his spot. He created it. Yeah.
I called him. I said he was like your Ed McMahon, and he didn't know who Ed McMahon was.
No, he wants to be my Vince McMahon.
That drives me crazy on the show.
He wants to be my Vince McMahon. He wants me to kiss his ass.
I don't know who Ed.
Okay, Ed Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
I'm not that old, but yeah,
you're aging yourself.
Okay, like a Carl Pilkington or an Adam Egget, like your sidekick.
Yeah.
He invented the sidekick.
The guy who gets like shit on, but in a loving way.
Yeah, he gets shit on, but they love him. Yeah,
he hosted the original. He was the original fucking
cute.
The Star Search. He was the
but he's the original sidekick. He's the original real sidekick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a difference between a sidekick and a guy that you shit on because everyone hates, like the villain. The sidekick is on the good team.
Yeah, it's like you're in on the joke.
Yeah,
he used to host bloopers and practical jokes with Dick Clark. Why do I know that?
Dick Clark.
Hey, I decided to check. You know, words that people don't use properly?
Tell me.
If I say one word, this word to you, what is the first thing you think about? Swashbuckling.
I don't know what that is. I've heard it,
when
but
you
I don't
hear
know
the word swashbuckling.
It sounds like a old-timey Civil War
I
type of
I pictured the Nike logo on a belt, because swash
every
is
time,
swoosh
every
on
single
a bu-
time
like,
I watch...
Sounds like... I don't know what that is.
Pirates of the Caribbean or anything to do with pirates, they always use the word swashbuckling.
It sounds like something you would do to slaves during the Civil War.
But the swashbuckling is... It does not mean that.
She swashes her buckles.
A guy who holds... a sword and a shield, like Captain America. That's what swashbuckling means.
Okay. What does that mean?
A guy who holds like a shield and a weapon.
That's if you're ready, you're swashbuckling.
Look, engaging in daring and romantic adventures with bravado and flamboyance.
Ooh.
And
I'm swashbuckling.
Okay, that's not what I got.
So swashbuckling is...
I took a photo of it.
Sounds gay.
Okay.
I'm a swashbuckling.
A compound of swash... To swagger with a drawn sword and buckler, a small shield gripping the fist.
That's us. We're swashbuckling right now on podcast.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
These are the things I do when I don't gamble.
Yeah, don't gamble.
And I watched...
Are you do you have a gambling
No,
problem?
I never did. I have a dopamine issue.
Hold on a second.
I feel like anxiety and gambling go hand in hand.
Did he just say...
Like, it's the perfect
storm. I lost all my money gambling. I don't have a problem. You see this, I just can't win.
You see this building next door? This building... I heard Norm MacDonald say it. That was very funny, by the way. For the people who know me, that was very funny.
My problem is I'm not good at gambling. I don't have a gambling addiction.
Exactly. It makes sense what you're saying, Pentels. The reason I never did, I would always go to the casino at Christmas time. But I had low dopamine, and it didn't occur to me that this slot machine was a dopamine pump. And the worst thing that happened to me, and I heard Norm MacDonald say this, and I heard Artie Lang say it, is I won a lot of money in one shot.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah.
That...
Then you're chasing that.
It's the fantasy.
Without noticing that you're chasing it. It's tunnel vision. That's what it was. I walked out of the casino with 45 grand cash. I used to live in the building next door.
Yeah.
The building next door in a loft apartment with ceilings this high. Yeah. It was a Tinder champion.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was a loft. I had
a Tinder champion. Like you would.
That was the icing on the cake.
Like people
she already
swipe,
agreed
right,
to come over.
Yeah.
That closed the deal.
Even once
it looked like I had my shit together.
I mean,
together.
Listen, bitches do love real estate.
Bitches love real estate?
I don't mean
But he
it.
Also once hosted a night with an old prostitute for his friend Adam, the autiste, to get
at the beginning
to
of
pop
this
his
adventure.
Cherry. Yeah.
At the beginning
That's
of
how we first met Adam, is we try to get him laid.
Yeah. Anyway,
with a prostitute.
So with that,
a prostitute,
just before,
and it sounds easy, right?
March
Still a virgin. Still a virgin.
I feel like that's harder as your first time.
No, he's asexual.
You don't have the cushion of being in love.
I think he's asexual.
She told us what happened.
Once.
What are you talking about? He said he was so scared to bang her that he jerked off in a condom.
I don't remember that.
Yes, what? And then he tried. He's like, okay, now I'm ready after
why
he came.
Did he jerk off into a condom?
Because he's Adam.
Oh, because you have to rub one out to not come fast.
But why into a condom? Yes, in I know. I learned her. This yesterday. Apparently, I know everything about
you learned this gym. Yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Comfort zone? I feel like all we talk about is
you didn't know about
cum,
rubbing one out before the date?
It's comfort zone.
Yeah, that I know.
Peter Griffin said it. You have to let out a few knuckle children.
Besides, you remember this? He jerked off into a condom in front of her, like while he was watching her, and then he came, and then he for some reason like now I should bang her, but he was trying to bang her, but his penis was flaccid, and she goes, he was trying to bang me with a flaccid penis. I tried my best to get him erect, he couldn't. No. And then we still paid her. I said, thank you for your service, ma'am.
I have a question.
Should I call Adam right now?
No.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you're talking about like the pre-date jerk off, right? That you do that, but do you not get post nut clarity, and then you're just like
post nut clarity?
Yes.
Do you go on the date and you're like,
yeah, no.
I only get that when I'm actually lying next to her after
You don't get post nut clarity when you jerk off. You only get post nut clarity after you've.
That's
finished
not true. No. Many times you jerk off and you're like, I'm canceling this date. I hate this person.
After jerk off,
that's usually the test, right? Yeah. If you still want to see
her. After jerk off, regret, guilt, and hatred for oneself.
Yes. Guys, that's the thing. People don't talk about it. We have so much shame and we hate ourselves.
It's men the afternoon. You should be doing something. Why are you jerking off?
Insecure men ruin the world.
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about it.
They take everyone down with them.
Yeah. It's true.
When women hurt, they hurt themselves. When men hurt, they hurt everybody.
But that's not an exaggeration. They do.
They beat their kids.
They get violent.
They molest their kids. They do all kinds of stuff.
I don't agree with it. It is true. It happens. But God
is that
damn.
An estrogen thing?
No, it's just.
I don't know. Actually, I think there's a lot of societal pressure on men, and as much as they do benefit from the structure that we currently have, there's a
not
lot.
Not all men, by the way.
There's a lot
just calm
of
down.
Pressure.
Him too. He's picking his head up.
Be like the guy. To like be the guy. To be a good like. Just be good at everything, to be a provider.
I don't
to
need
be a
directions
protector,
either way.
Regardless of if we need that anymore, because I don't think that some women don't need it. Some still do. But
everyone,
there is a lot
men
of
and women, need strong individuals around them, strong women, strong
protection,
men.
Yeah.
The problem is that we have a generation now that grew up, it's going to sound crazy, with a bunch of pussies. What I mean by that is not a bunch of, I just mean a bunch of weak people.
Overprotected children.
That push on the kids.
My pussy's strong as hell.
Sure, pussy is strong as hell.
That sounds fantastic.
But we put all that pressure on, and then these kids grew up in that weird bubble world, and now they're insecure, they're fucked up, but they're the class that's now ruling. So that's why everything is broken, because you don't have a lot of people willing to be like, whoa, no, this isn't right. Let's do the right thing. They're like, well, what if this person doesn't like me? What if everyone doesn't like me? Mm-hmm. Like Trudeau, for example. That's why the economy's destroyed. He didn't want to say all right, let's just tighten our belt.
He wants to
taxes.
Be everybody's friend.
He wants to be everybody's friend, which fucks up the country.
And he's not assertive.
Yeah.
And when he says something tough, you know it's not sincere.
Bro, he's running an entire country like that, okay? And it's going downhill. And he's just one of many. If you know
Castro.
No, but you know how crazy it is to do that for a country? Yeah. If I ran my business that way, I'd be homeless. And this guy does it for an entire nation of fucking people. He's not the only one. A lot of people do it. A lot of countries are run that way. You have to make the tough decisions. You can't try to be like, well, this guy's going to be a fan. You're fucking everything up.
Without being
sometimes
funny,
a kid needs to be told this is what it is.
You need a Captain Kirk. You need an emperor. You need a captain.
A lot of people don't want to make tough decisions in their life every day. Like, you see it all, like, every day.
It's hard to think. I think it's worse to be reject or to have to reject somebody than to do the rejection. Like, it's worse to hurt somebody in any way or say no, like just not even in a political way.
Some people
way,
love
but
hurting other people.
Like, I've never produced a comedy show, not because I'm not capable of it or I'm too lazy, but because I don't want to have to not book people. I don't want somebody to ask me.
Oh, that's really nice of you, but why would you do that?
Because I just leave them on read, really. But I literally studied rejection empirically for years.
So you don't want to, like, you could succeed at a show, but you don't want to let people down.
No, you're not understanding. It's very sad and annoying.
Feeling rejected, it's processed in the brain the same way as physical pain, but it's also harder to get over and easier to relive. So I don't actually think this is true. I don't, but like, I would, ethically, I would feel better punching somebody in the face than saying no to them. I'm not going to do that. That's but it feels like it feels like
it doesn't
dying.
Feel good. It doesn't feel good when I tell people no, or it's
you feel
on
like
show,
you're
so
murdering somebody because like it's like a death. Like
I get it. No,
because so the idea is like our social pain system. So that like hurt feelings, heartbreak, it piggybacked on our physical pain system because thousands of years ago, if you weren't part of a group, you would die. You needed people to survive. We're a social species, so. Saying no to somebody, it feels like I feel like I'm murdering them.
I get
and
it.
I don't want to do it, but, which I know. Like I'm fucking myself.
The
like
thing
I
to do.
I know.
To them.
I know. I know. That's the because thing too. Like that's why people ghost. They don't want to say no. Yeah. And that's worse. That's ignoring. Is actually worse. Yeah.
Ignoring. Stonewalling too is really bad for psychologically. Stonewalling is when you just like
fuck off.
Much, it's very passive aggressive, but you kind of punish someone by with your absence. And it's like they've looked into it. It's like psychologically one of the the cruelest things you can do to someone. And that's why like I grew up with a lot of stonewallers. And now I have such a hard like if you stonewall me, it's like you're cut. Like you're done.
Okay, tell me again stonewalling.
It's like have you ever had like a girlfriend who's like mad at you and she doesn't talk to you for like a week?
Like passive aggressive.
It's passive aggressive. Okay. Yeah. That concept of like leaving someone and like not really telling. Like you can take time. Like there's some people need processing time, but if you and I get into a fight and I'm like, look, I don't want to talk to you, but we're gonna talk tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's a healthy way
and
to
that's
take,
being assertive.
That's a healthy way to take absence. Whatever. But if you get into a fight and I say, I'm leaving, and then I don't talk to you for a month.
That's
like
manipulation.
Every time
that's
see,
terrible.
That's stonewalling.
I hate
and psychologically,
that.
It's very
I had a girl do that to me once.
A lot of people did that to me. I was really influenced. But that's why I didn't look at social media a lot because it really had a negative effect on my person.
Yeah, but you're a dickhead.
Yes,
I
am.
Yeah, no
but
one
not getting enough likes
media.
Would bother you. Fuck
no,
off.
No, that's it. I was too sensitive.
Are you one of those guys who looks at the people who watch
no,
their
no,
stories?
I don't. I really haven't looked at it
okay,
in years.
Okay, good. Don't do that.
Yeah.
What I mean is because when I asked before about whether or not it has to do with biology, I go to Mexico a lot for various medical reasons. And once upon a time, when I was in a very good state, I would mess around with injecting testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these had a negative effect of producing estrogen.
Okay.
And it's there that I noticed my behavior actually changed. I became more sensitive. And
hormones are crazy.
Right.
Yeah. They're crazy.
It's funny because I'm sure there's people who are sad and think I hate them because sometimes it takes me like a month to reply. But it's because I receive a lot of shit at once.
Oh, you have to put yourself
and I reply to the important stuff first, and then I forget because then new shit comes in.
And then
sometimes it's a month later, I'm like, holy fuck, I have a message from this girl, this guy.
Message
and I'm like,
again. This is why people need to.
But here's the thing.
Again.
Then I'm like,
don't assume sometimes that he's an asshole.
But sometimes I won't reply because I'm like, it's too late. It's a month and a half. I reply now.
And now they
I'm
know.
Gonna
yeah.
look like a psychopath. But because they just sometimes I have free time and bang, everything's banging. But then sometimes I get everything at once. And I don't have free time. I'm like, oh, this is important. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. And then by the time I get to you, you don't need the thing that you want anymore. And you forgot about it.
Like, just like the ADHD thing sometimes. If I'm not like sitting at my computer or my phone and like in the mood to start responding to people, I forget. Or you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at your phone, you've got like texts or Facebook.
I don't do that
DM,
at night.
Whatever.
Catch me in the day.
And then you fall back asleep, but you've like got rid of the notifications.
I fuck myself all the time.
Look, like my phone, I think I have like 73 unread texts right now. And I'm not popular. I'm just bad.
Imagine the shit that I have.
So I apologize. Anybody watching that I've ghosted, it's not personal. I'm just useless.
I know some people, they piss me off because some people don't realize how busy they think I'm as not
like
busy
15K followers on Instagram
but it's
your DMs, it's like it's insane to me that people don't realize that you literally might not even see it.
There's a lot I don't see.
There's a lot you don't see, and this is why like when I started producing I realized that it was the people who would, now let's not be crazy, don't message me every day. I feel like I'm unlocking something. But it was the people who messaged me consistently. Like if I didn't get an answer, I would be like, hey, just following up. Like it's those people that were right in my purview that I was like, oh yeah, they're fucking funny. Yeah, come do a spot this day. So it's like, there's also
but
like,
if they're polite,
if you get
not
you can get mad at a producer for not ever leaving you on red ever. Like that's crazy.
All me is more than producing.
Because even not even producing, not even like having a huge following. It's just like the way people can contact you now. So then you get You get the people who text you, you get the people who DM you on one app, and then the ones on the other app.
That's why I took off notifications for social media, so I'll never be notified if you send me something. I have to go actively and look, because and if I was getting notifications... I wouldn't be able to live.
If I'm working and then it's like a text comes, if it pops up on my computer, like if I get distracted for 2 seconds, you're like done. Now the next hour I have to, takes me that long to then get back into the assignment.
The idea that you're entitled to a response is from anyone for anything is insane.
That's how I feel.
There like, are comedians that wait for the phone to ring.
No, you have to go out there and get it. You have to go talk.
Oh, no, I am the most passive person. Like, I take full accountability, but I don't get mad if people don't book me either.
Mike's my best friend. I see him.
That's a good attitude, but you should.
I know.
I could get a reply in 2 minutes or 4 days.
I feel like I can learn from you.
It depends. Mike, I can literally, we have a fucking podcast. I can literally get a reply in 30 seconds or, depending on what's happening, in 4 days. Yeah. He doesn't hate me. He's like me. He's fucking doing a million and one things. Yeah.
Norm MacDonald so was you the think, best at I'm gonna catch, like that.
He's my favorite text comedian. Me. I love that man.
Yeah. I'm going to catch it when I get back, you know? And then you forget about it because something else comes in. Like me, it's always one thing. I don't have a day where I'm calm. It's podcasting. It's editing. It's doing stand-up.
You watch soccer.
And I watch soccer like a fanatic. So there's so much shit happening at once. Some stuff slips through the cracks, and I always hope that I do the main stuff. Like right now I have the main stuff. I have to the graphics to do for just for like all kinds of shit for the summer. And I'm trying to make sure I get that shit done before anything else.
For sure.
I remember in New York years ago when I was in a theater school, Mike Nichols, you know, the director Mike Nichols, directed The Graduate, Married to Diane Sawyer. My microphone's being funny.
That's because you're low talking. No, so it's the gate cutting you off.
He said to us, if... You know when it says casting directors outside the door, no visitors, no drop-offs, like don't drop off your CV and stuff. If that sign on that door intimidates you, you're in the wrong business. That's what Oscar winning. Yeah. And it's, I remember, that made me think of the people that won't message.
Okay, so I went to a talk of the creator of Degrassi. Okay, her name's Linda Schuller, was like the most amazing.
The original talk. Degrassi.
The original Degrassi. Yeah, yeah. She's a teacher. She created the show. She was
Spike.
Everything.
I love Degrassi. That's why I learned about AIDS, Jerry drugs, Jeremiah, lesbians, abortion. It was amazing. All from Degrassi.
I can tell you guys the craziest things about the way that they wrote the show.
That's really cool. I would have gone to that.
It's incredible. So, and she gave an instance of how she had someone that was her story coordinator, and he asked her for coffee, and he was like, I want to be a writer. And she kept saying no. She said no, like I think they said no to him like 6 times. And he just kept whatever. And then he ended up cracking one of like the best stories on Degrassi, which is he cracked the story about the trans character. It was like one of the first trans characters.
I don't even remember that.
In the first one.
And they.
It was a trans character. I don't even remember. Was it Joey Tribbiani?
They were one of the.
That's the first.
They were one of the. First shows to really show like a trans character in a real way. And they sat on that storyline for 4 years because they wanted to do it properly. And they wanted to make sure they like told the story correctly. So it wasn't like bad. And this guy, he sat, but like he was persistent and they would tell him no all the time. And he persisted. And then he ended up being one of, and now he's in LA and he's an amazing writer. And so you have to say, if you're in this business, no, like is the only time I will say that no is like a suggestion. Right. Not when you're having sex, though.
Right. Now she tells me.
You should write that down. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, so you got so many doors, dude, that I ended up opening or breaking down. They were always initial, like, no's. Or you just have to... But I know a lot of people that just stop. They give up. The second there's a small obstacle, they're like, I'm done. I always try to find the angle.
Or
around.
They're like locked down by like traditionalists, like I'm not going to be in a room if I wasn't invited kind of mentality.
I've done
and
that.
Some of that works too, but it's every situation
there's
is different.
Yeah. Sometimes there's also doors, people who are entitled too. Yeah. And
I hate like that shit.
And sometimes those doors get knocked on by the unprepared wrong people. That's what's bad.
Yes.
Right place, right time is what you need. And sometimes you're at the right place, wrong time, or wrong fucking place.
Or make
the
wrong
right
decisions. Yeah. I've had those crossroads in my life, and I've made the wrong decision, trusted the wrong people, and not gone.
Mm-hmm. Or you just get fucked by luck.
Sometimes it's just bad luck.
I was in the right place at the right time, got an opportunity in LA, and then the pandemic hit. Sometimes.
Yeah. It wasn't like that. Was just wasn't,
she was in the right place, right time, wrong China.
At the comedy store.
But that was... That's
someone
because
said to,
that your journey is
go
to
on.
Pop
you
up
ready
some
to go on?
Time.
Just go on.
Oh, me?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, the first time I went on there.
Comedy store, Pantelis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was ready. The moment came like that.
Yeah, but that was a
But you have to be ready.
Yeah.
And that's
that's what
important.
I mean, to be prepared.
Yeah, years ago, I was still working, and they had sent me to... It was the first time I was ever in LA, and I had meetings in the day, this and that. And then at night, I was alone. I had my hotel room, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? I go, I'll go to comedy. And I had just started, I was an open micer at the time. I was doing a bit of comedy for like a year or two, or a year probably around, a year and a half. And I go to the comedy store, they were doing the roast battle upstairs. And before they had like, basically they draw from, because they didn't want the show to just be roast battle, they the want belly some comedy.
Room. The belly room. Room.
So they were just drawing names. It was Brian Moses drawing names out of a hat. And I was walking in, and I had tickets to go see the thing. And he goes, are you a comic? And I said, well, no, I'm just here to see the show. Yeah, in Montreal, but I'm just here. He's like, can you put your name in the hat? Probably we're not going to pick you because there's like full names. But just because since you do comedy, because I told him I do comedy, he goes, because we want the show to go well. We don't want to just rant. So maybe we'll pick you. I go, they're not going to pick me. So I remember, I think it was the second, like they picked five names, like the second name. He's like, this next guy has one name.
That's amazing. That's I remember awesome. That.
I was like, holy fuck. And then I got to perform and I got a lot, because I was ready. Everyone else was like, it was open micers that were going on, but I was already doing, like, I think I was already started doing weekends by that time at the Nest.
Yeah.
So it was good. I made friends there.
What year?
Bobby Shore's house is
2013, I think, around 20.
Is that when it just, was that when, like, Adam Egot took over and then it, like, started getting good? Like, when?
I don't remember. I had fun. Because
the store was, like, struggling. No,
when I was there, it was fun. I think Egot must have been there because it was fun when I went, but then. I had, so then I came back, I did that, and to me it motivated me. I was like, oh, that was fucking lucky, that was fun, but we still weren't at a point where I could think of it as being a career because we live in Montreal. And then it was after I had went back, I think a year later, but then I was booked to do a Thursday night in Pasadena at the Ice House.
Yeah.
But by then I had made friends, and then Pasadena I met like Hannah Dickinson, I met friends in comedy that I still like, like today. And then it just started slowly snowballing. Yeah, a lot of right place, right time. And like I remember the way I got in at the Ice House was Ivan Pacel. He's a comedy, a juggler. He does all kinds of cool shows. He was, they made me open for him at the Nest, Acker. And we became friends. He was a super cool guy. It was funny. And he liked my shit. And he goes, look, man, if ever you're in LA, like I'm good at the Ice House. I could get you, get you a booking there. Mm-hmm. And he fucking came through. I had flown in. Again, I was working. I had flown for a meeting. And I sent a message. I go, look, this and this. And he hooked it up and they fucking...
Yeah.
And
sometimes I made friends. It's the people that you know as well, too.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
But you have to be good.
Hinchcliffe. Tony. I smoked him on a joint years ago.
Tony Hinchcliffe was the one in the... So Hinchcliffe, I had met him with Mike in 2018.
At JFL?
At JFL. Yeah. It was 2018, I believe. Tony Hinchcliffe is the person... If you ever heard the story when we talk about Poseidon getting pepper sprayed by a hooker the day before we went on Rogan with Mike in LA. Tony Hinchcliffe is the comic that... Poseidon had taken a spot in the back and they were asking him to move the car and he was just screaming because he was angry because he got robbed and pepper sprayed by a hooker. Tony Hinchcliffe was the one that when he was walking back, he's like, what's going on? And I go, he was just robbed and pepper sprayed by a hooker. Tony Hinchcliffe, because I see the story, there was a comic, he's the comic I'm talking about because he just looked at him and said, you gotta watch out for those hookers, buddy. And then he just walked and went to his car. He had like this badass car. But he's the comic that I talk about. He was the one who... Yeah, he was good. And Hinchcliffe is actually a nice dude. Because I remember I had met him at Just for Laughs. He was cool. And then a year later or months later when I saw him at the store, and I don't have an easy name.
He remembered my name too.
Oh,
years later.
When he was like, hey, Pantel. Yeah. And I was like, what? And in my head, I go, this motherfucker sees all these, because he's so many people.
Tony, all the,
with Kill Tony, so many people. And he remembered a name that sometimes here people have problems understanding. Saying, and the cocksucker remembered it.
He knows. I feel like that's why he remembered it.
You know who's
a memorable name.
But this is not, it's not a perfect correlation, but I feel like that, like, sometimes the edgier or quote unquote more offensive the material, the nicer the comic. Like,
he's
like
a good dude.
But right? Because, like, people Bob Saget get mad about
I agree. No, even this
everyone
squad
says
everyone is like the nicest.
Yeah, we're lunatics.
You guys say the craziest thing, like, to the point where Sarah and I are like, will we ever get hired anywhere? And then you go off stage and it's like the nicest group of guys that I've ever had. And like then there's other guys in the scene that like their material is clean and then off stage they say the craziest things. Or I feel like uncomfortable around them.
Yeah.
But that's
I've had people ask me like they watch it and somebody says something and they're like, oh, were you uncomfortable? I'm like, no, because I know that person and I know that's actually the antithesis of who they are.
Yeah.
Right. That's why it's funny.
Like when they get off stage.
Get
they actually respect women.
Tom Hanks trying to play a murderer in a movie. It's just not possible.
He could play a fucking psychopath.
No,
Tom
he
Hanks.
Did in anyway, why did I say that?
I don't know, but it's I like your transitions. You just a non sequitur.
Yeah, like where are you right now? Like,
they don't exist. Peaches.
Wiggle
we
room.
Love
wait, do you have a is that
it's a wiggle room.
What?
Is that yours? Worm. Poseidon, why
he
did you Google
it? He's bringing props in.
Did you get that at home? No, it's a dollar store.
You know, is this for your kid?
Yeah, I was going to try to figure it out to fascinate him. You know, it's like that gimmick. You ever see those gimmicks in a tourist area in Europe. Where you want to buy the dancing thing on the rope and it's just a scam because it's on a...
It's just fishing wire.
I want to introduce my kid to magic so he could become David Attenborough.
What is this
thing
you put on a pencil?
It's invisible. You see, you unwind the invisible twine there on the piece of paper at the end, on the other end.
Okay, what's this?
And you do magic tricks with it because it's a fishing wire. You can't see it. So you can shake it around.
So it looks like
Like it's moving by itself, but it's really hidden fishing wire.
Oh, okay. Now you just gave
away. They've been around for centuries. People with turbans on years ago would come out of baskets while playing a flute.
People with turbans on now fucking crash planes at the towers.
That's not funny. To be honest, I zoned out. I'm watching this.
Yes, because
my ADHD makes me hyper focus on listening things that look like dick.
This is for all the audio listeners who are not watching.
What dick have you been fucking? I would get tested if that looks like a dick.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Is this a bright red?
Is it? It's making me uncomfortable that you women say stuff like that about dick and shit like that.
Wait, what makes me?
Well, it is aggressive.
Wait, what would make? Wait, what's your question? I don't get really.
He's offended by me.
Bro, if your kid can't see this rope,
she can say whatever she wants.
No, I'm not.
he was making a joke.
If your kid can't see this rope, get him tested.
It's like the other night we were all like,
yeah, apparently it's supposed to, that's the gimmick. That's the thing.
Bro, no joke. If your kid,
I'm very invested in what you're saying.
If your kid is distracted and can't tell if that's a rope, get him tested, bro.
I don't know. Whatever.
There's
a way. I'm going to Google it. I'm going to check the Encyclopedia Britannica. I thought
it was candy. Of course,
Poseidon always thinks it's candy. You know what Poseidon did once? All right, you know when you're at a party and they have the helium balloons,
yes,
a lot of them at the center of the table? You know that base, that heavy base that's holding them down?
Yep. Yeah.
It's usually shaped like a Hershey's Kiss.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Right?
This bag of sand?
So it's exactly the shape of a giant Hershey's Kiss wrapped in aluminum foil. But there were no balloons on it, so Poseidon was at work, and he instantly ran over to it and said, "Ooh, someone brought chocolate." But there was no chocolate there, so he was very
trying to eat it.
He fat shamed himself.
It's okay.
Do you have a sweet tooth, Poseidon?
Oh yeah.
What's your favorite dessert?
Bread.
Mine too.
He's not gonna pick. It's too hard to pick.
It's too hard.
You can't ask me that question.
It's like trying to ask who's your favorite vanilla kid.
My brain went into meltdown just now.
I want all of them inside me.
Well, it's ice cream season, so. You know what? What cone I really enjoy, and there's not a lot of sugar in it. And I went there recently, so fat. I went all the way there just for this, but it was closed for renovation. IKEA's ice cream cone. It's one of the
it's
made
cheap
of yogurt. Yeah. It's made of yogurt. It is fantastic. It's better than the McDonald's.
I hate IKEA.
I drove all the way there. No, but you don't walk into the maze.
Just go to the food part.
I hate everyone in there. God.
You're going to taste
You know what I don't like
cream
about IKEA?
I have to say, you do seem like someone who would be out of place at IKEA.
I was outraged.
If I saw you there, I would be like, what?
I took my nephew there a few weeks ago. He wanted a desk for his computer or whatever. He goes, can you take me? So I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we go there and I was telling him, I'm warning you. I'm going to be angry. You're going to be angry. Everyone's retarded.
The arrow's on the floor.
Where do you recommend going? Like, I just got an apartment. I gave all my furniture away when I moved to LA a few years back.
Yeah.
Where do you get cheap furniture if IKEA, if you don't like IKEA?
Ask the guys at the nice garbage place.
Shit.
No. Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Really, or I do recommend IKEA for that stuff, but I'm saying I don't like being there because here's what I don't like. It should be a store where you go, you get a desk, and you leave. Mm-hmm. But these fucking retards,
you have to go through a maze.
Turn it into a family trip.
Yeah.
So they decide, kids.
It's an excursion.
People go on dates to IKEA.
Yes, and it bugs me. I'm walking around.
They force you in rooms you don't want to be in.
Ever since 500 Days of Summer, people have been going on dates.
It's like, bro, go home. Go home. Take her out to a restaurant. What are you doing?
It's also weird. Like, it's just like, let's be domestic together. Like, do you even know each other that well? Like,
the other thing is taking photos. I remember when I was with him, they were taking photos. This girl was taking photos in the fake kitchen. Like, it's her kitchen. Like, a thing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
that's so
is
funny.
This bitch serious right now? This is crazy. This is lunatic shit. I'm like,
because
bitch.
She wants to make it look like it's her kitchen.
Yeah, why? It's not your kitchen.
If I was stupid rich, I would actually walk in there and say, give me this. Just to
You would shop at IKEA if you're super rich?
No, just because
that's how he got rich.
I want the satisfaction of... You always buy it. You buy a... Did I deviate?
I'm giving an example of you walk in and you're like, this is all mine. I want.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because you always buy the one dresser, but it doesn't go with the furniture you have.
Yeah.
Here's my grandmother's, you know, couch and a Krügenfrisch.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So I want the whole thing.
Yeah.
So
but you don't want staging furniture from IKEA.
No.
Just hire someone and they'll
hire
it for you.
Yeah. My butler.
Yeah.
Jeeves, have the room prepared.
If you were rich enough to have a butler, would you want a butler?
No.
Me neither. It's
I would want a Latina maid.
I don't want a house
maid.
Slave. It's fucking strange.
It is
hey, Guido,
he
not here. Mr. Guido, not here.
So would you just do your own chore? Like if you're rich?
Yeah, because it's, I don't know.
Wait, Tom, I'll make my mother do it, bro.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, I would clean for the person before they got there and then spend the entire time apologizing and being like, are you sure I can do that? I couldn't.
What about
a little weird
assistant?
I need an assistant. Soon I'm going to get an assistant.
I would get my house clean and I need an assistant. I would love an assistant. The day I can get an assistant. Woo, I'm very, do you need a house clean? I'm very good at cleaning. We covered this on the last time I was on the podcast, but the sublet I was in was, I can.
She developed housewife skills.
Yeah, I mean, if I lived here, I would
I'm like,
have
I'll
you come
clean
every
for
2 weeks.
Where do you live?
I live in Toronto.
Patrick Hakeem.
I know him.
She knows him.
I like
he
him.
Was part of. Yep.
He's great.
Patrick is my oldest friend.
He was.
Patrick grew up in the neighborhood.
Were you
Patrick
kids?
Hakeem will not admit
5
to that.
5 years old.
He was very nice to me. We went. He told me to come to the corner. He kind of like introduced. Like, he was great.
Go to the corner.
He sounds
nobody
like
puts
a Montreal
baby in the corner.
Italian guy.
I actually want to be put in the corner. That'd be great. It's a great club.
By Patrick Swayze?
By Patrick Hakeem. No, I'm just kidding. Hey. By Patrick Swayze, yes.
Jen Sakato.
No. But but he was very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, Patrick's good people. He's all right.
So you guys grew up together. Did you both know you were going to be comics back in the day? Okay.
We used to giggle with each other on the phone at 10 years old. We also had no kind of curfew and would watch Letterman, Johnny Carson,
a variety of different
he had the
underground
TV
like third grade I was on to Conan an hour
we
later
would laugh
and,
about
yeah.
Yeah.
wild that's yeah. wild yeah. I only started listening to my dad is really into stand-up comedy and my dad used to love like the old SNLs so we would watch those and then like my family always had like a good sense of humor. But I only got into comedy, I think, when I was like about 18. I started listening to like the New York comics that were up and coming and stuff. I used to love Guy Code or Girl Code. And Girl Code had like all these like comics now that are humongous.
Schultz,
like, Schultz
was
on it. Yeah. DeStefano was on it. A bunch of girls were on it.
Chris
Carly Aquilino.
Schultz, another good dude.
People get
offended sometimes. He's another fucking great dude.
Yeah.
It's what you guys were saying.
Yeah.
Anybody you hear them talking too much shit about
him. Mike
a lot of
a lot
it is
perform-
like people
a
who
person.
Seem good, it's performative.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I've noticed. Yeah. The ones that seem too good, they're kind of weird.
It's
everyone I met that's like me, they talk about the same stuff as
like
me. They're
personal,
normally awesome offstage.
It's like the interpersonal equivalent of when a bank puts up a pride flag during like in June. It's like, I mean, that's good. We shouldn't be homophobic, but do you think the bank actually gives a shit about anybody?
No, that's why I hate Pride Month. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. It's so I need gay people to get up one day and be like, oh, really? Yeah, you're so. How about you fucking don't charge fees during this to gay or something? Yeah.
Don't put up the flag.
I think it's become such a celebration of like of being gay and proud and whatever. And I think
well,
we're
I
not
think the actual
in a
month is fine.
Yeah,
I like the Norm McDonald
but
joke
he
about
it.
That.
I hate
Norm
you know what I hate? I hate
no,
the,
I know
the,
you
the
hate.
My son,
the corporate. Corporatization of it.
He's a law student.
I don't like that.
Because
it's fake.
He's a lawyer. He graduated from Harvard.
Yeah.
But you know how I know it's fake?
Look at him suck this cock. And he pull, yeah.
You know how I know it's fake? Because you see the meme happens every year where you see they change their logos. They put all these rainbow colors because the gays, they own the rainbow.
How long have they owned the rainbow?
In North America and Europe, but the second it's to their Arab countries, they don't change their logo during the month. They're like, we're not going to piss them off. So you don't, if you cared really about the cause or whatever the fuck it is, you do it every week. Like, this is what I believe in. But you don't believe in it.
Well,
you do it because you think it makes you look nice.
They virtue signal. That's,
yeah, I hate
that
shit.
Or
you
blow a guy.
But I know Nike. What do you? You have slave labor. Obviously, you don't give a shit about gay people or straight people or white people or black people. You don't care. I know. So don't fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate America.
I think it's like the more people get on board, though, then the more it becomes normalized, and then everyone's like, "Oh yeah, cool. Like it's no big deal."
I think
deal.
The outcome. I think so, there's positive things that happen because of it. I just think the intention behind it.
For sure, there's no like integrity. But if you're out here thinking a bank has integrity, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, they're a bank. You mentioned Stonewall. Isn't that where the whole gay thing started?
Oh, the Stonewall Inn in New York.
Yeah. You see,
there was no gays before that.
No,
you think?
The police raided. a bar or a gay bar?
Yeah, like the West Village.
It's not far from the cellar. Stonewall.
They raided a bathhouse. Yeah.
Poseidon,
like Stonewall, Christopher Street, maybe.
Type in for gay what? Stonewall.
Stonewall.
Real
in
police officers
New
or strippers?
York City.
Here,
I think yeah.
What Stonewall riots.
A riot. Okay.
Oh,
there
it's
it
a
is.
Riot.
Yeah. The Stonewall Riots, also known as the Stonewall Uprising, Stonewall Rebellion, or simply Stonewall, were a series of spontaneous protests by members of the gay community in response to the police raid that began in the early morning of June 28, 1969, the Stonewall Ill of Greenwich Village
in.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
Ill.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, interesting. Why is it called Stonewall?
Because it's called Stonewall because
of
what
like the bar, the establishment.
You mentioned it before, Stonewall.
Stonewall. No, that was Michelle was talking about the word Stonewalling.
That's where.
Yeah. Now I'm like, why did we?
No, that's not where it came from.
I know. I'm trying to sound smart.
I hope it's not where it came from.
No, it did not.
Anyway.
So wait, gay people were upset that they were raided.
What's 1969?
Well, I think they were raided and there was like just random violence against them.
They actually made a movie called Stonewall in Montreal about this.
Oh, people are
and it was a shitty movie.
They pushed around. Did anyone die? There's got to be a reason. Like,
don't look for the bright side of every story. Some of them just don't have any.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I bet you. Poseidon gets it. I bet you what happened was,
June 6th. Is that why June, that's why June is Pride Month?
I don't know.
I believe so. Hmm? It makes sense.
That makes sense.
And the
riots are like June 28th. Because isn't it normally the end of June? When
it depends on the city.
It's the last,
like New York, I think they do the last Sunday of June. Yeah.
And then in Montreal, we do it in August.
Yeah,
for some reason.
I think
what does it matter?
Yeah, I think Toronto was always like end of June as well.
Toronto does June. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Trudeau walking in Toronto during the parade, sweating. Yeah. I remember that, and I jacked off.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ,
that's not funny.
You should come by Comfort Zone; you'll fit right in.
I don't because I'm in a kitchen.
So otherwise, wait, what happened? Poseidon. So essentially, they beat up gay people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the gay people have to. You can't let them. You can't let these cops beat the shit out of you. You got to protest that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just reminded me.
Yeah.
While I was in a treatment center.
Yeah.
I met this guy.
So much dick.
But it's
treatment was actually.
It was just a shower.
Did you know cock?
Shower of cum.
It's a great treatment. Yeah.
I saw this guy
I'm rubbing off on her.
he looked.
She's gonna
like,
be dropping N bombs. Yeah. Like,
no, I will never.
This guy was jacked. What happened?
It's sorry. Okay.
This guy was jacked with a beard. He looked like a scary Arab, but jacked like I'm talking bodybuilder Schwarzenegger.
I believe
you. This guy, former RCMP officer, who sexually harassed because he's gay. And he has his, like, he's engaged.
What kind of harassment? Because I only learned this week that people call anything harassment, so I want to know.
He gets paid from it, and he's traumatized.
Okay, so don't answer my question. Pretend
what kind
it.
Of harassment?
Yeah, what happened to him?
He gets paid for the harassment.
Yeah, that's what you said. I asked you what kind of harassment. You said he gets paid for it.
He was sexually harassed verbally and physically by his superior, who was a closeted gay man.
Okay, so like legit, like being legit, like, hey, we're around the offices, you got a fat cock.
Yeah, that's literally that. Yeah.
You remember that video?
Unbelievable.
That was the best video. You remember the sexual harassment in the workplace? That was my favorite YouTube video for years.
It was like the kind of shit they show in school.
Yeah.
Reefer madness.
Yeah, it was like that. And then they have a guy, the girl was the funniest. She walks in, this other girl walks in the room, she's like, smells like fresh vagina in here. And she's like,
"Does she really
are you talking about my vagina? Maybe."
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's not.
I have never
word around the offices, you've got a fat cock. And then the guy's like, yeah.
Is it like, it's a parody on like the
No, it was meant to be serious.
It's serious, okay.
To me, it's a parody.
No, it was not supposed to be serious.
Sexual harassment.
All right.
Let's watch this, baby. This is my favorite video ever made.
Oh, you could tell from the font when
I love it.
This is like 88.
You hear about sexual harassment.
Make it big. It was on E-bombs. It was hilarious.
By the way, the videos, they still look like this. I had to watch a bunch of them at my old workplace.
Let's check this out.
As an employee, what do you need to know about it? First, sexual harassment is against the law.
It's illegal.
And it's against your company's policy.
More importantly, it's against our policy.
What is it, though?
Oh, come on.
Linda, you are doing a fine job here.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve.
But you know, you might try dressing a little sexier at work.
I'm sorry?
I mean,
they start
talking about your job here.
That's what I was telling you guys.
Also, it's like they're working cubicles. Harassment. What would be the point of dressing sexy?
It could be physical.
You really pensed it in, Nancy.
Ow, Bill.
Sorry.
You look really tense.
Never happens like this.
No, I really don't like it when you do that. Can you please stop?
So creepy. I'm like, I'll take a like arm, like a shoulder massage. Oh my God. Like,
you just said,
yeah, why
I'll
can't
never
I get
stop
sexually harassed never. Like this? Get a free massage.
I'll never stop.
Listen to this.
Word around the office is you've got a fat cock.
Yes.
Dude. What?
I've got a fat cock too. Maybe we should rub our fat cocks together. Maybe a little oil.
That's
this has been
look
edited. Look at the black guy's face.
That's
look at the
literally
yeah.
not how you
this
have
a, this
sex.
This is a parody, but look at that
it
guy's
might
face.
Be visual yes, harassment, anyone? Such as derogatory posters, cartoons, or drawings.
Nah, look at the dick.
Dude,
there's been
be the
dicks in books
a power
forever.
Struggle look, between a manager and a subordinate.
A power struggle.
Oh, so they knew what it was even.
I could go for a power fuck right now.
Oh, that's so funny.
Change is slow, and what was acceptable in common behavior years ago can now be sexual harassment.
It smells like vagina in here.
Excuse me?
It smells like fresh vagina in here.
Are you talking about my vagina?
Maybe.
Everyone wants
so
to be treated
stupid.
Fairly and with respect.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is my favorite video for years.
Just
every time.
About the
that's a good one.
So, you want to know what's funny? Is every time I would start a new job in an office or whatever and I'd have a team to manage, I would show them the video. I'd be like, listen, guys, girls, I don't want any fucking harassment. We're going to watch a goddamn video.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to show this and be like, none of this stuff. This stuff's not going to fly under my watch.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I used to have a lot of fun.
Poseidon, I hear you have a fat cock.
So back in the day, this was comedy. This was acceptable. I was showing Mike these videos because there was this, and then there was another one. There was a real do you remember the commercial, Poseidon, show you that was an actual commercial of the hot coffee?
Huh?
Where I showed it on two-drink minimum, and Mike lost his shit. Google, it's a Canadian. No, go to YouTube. It's a Canadian commercial from back in the day.
Participation.
No, it was a Canadian. You got to shut up while I'm talking.
I'm sorry.
It was a Canadian commercial. About type in domestic abuse hot coffee.
I think I've seen this.
He's on the show.
I just told you you've seen it.
He's on 2 drink minimum.
I love it.
Oh, good.
I love it.
I think I've seen this. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. The PSA.
She
yeah.
Spilled my
you
coffee.
You don't understand. Bring this up, bro. This is insane. Put it from the beginning. Put it from the beginning.
Weird.
You're doing a real good job on your
Take
pitching.
Coffee.
You're doing a real good job on your
Take
pitching.
Coffee.
Yeah. Please.
Oh, shoot.
I'd like some more too, please, sir.
She spilled my coffee.
I'm sorry, sir.
You fucking bitch. How do you like that?
Oh! So violent.
You wouldn't get away with it here. You shouldn't get away with it at home.
How crazy
wow.
is that? Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
You wouldn't be allowed. You'd need like a
You should get away with it at
on
home.
That shit now. Yeah.
That's
you
that.
Wouldn't be allowed to air
well,
that commercial.
I'm not going to lie. That was weird.
But you wouldn't be. No, you
watch.
Can't air that commercial now.
But it kind
That's
of,
a real one. That's not even
but
comedy.
It, but the fact that it was
that's
the
it,
end message.
At home. That's it. It all
it
worked out.
It makes. Yeah, at first, I'm like, what am I watching?
It was absurd in public. So, which means it's absurd at home. So, it's not bad.
No, I like the message.
The message is great.
Yeah.
But if you don't know you're watching like a domestic
you
abuse
have no idea what's
commercial,
yeah.
that's like a
it's
lot
a porno.
To watch. Like he pours hot coffee on her. That's insane.
But I like the message of you wouldn't be like, you know that this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
So, why don't you call
people,
him?
People be beating their wives.
Is there racist ones?
Still doing it.
Although I've seen racist ones too. The racist ones are hilarious and they're not trying to, but because instead of
help.
Showing real racism, like this showed real abuse, but in a they show fake racism, which to me was always like, have you never
seen
met
real racism?
A black person? Like it's like these people get together, they've never met anyone that's not of their origin, and they write what it's like, and it's so ludicrous. You're like, this is fucking
well,
retarded.
Well, that's like at my old job, like there was like these groups, they would have like groups for like Latina women and then like black women, and they would have all these like groups and you could be part of them if you know whatever. And then I had a friend who went to one because she was Latina and she was like, this is insane. It's just run by white women.
Why would I go to
a, you know, like let's help like diversity group when it's run by white women. It's the kind of the same thing. The people that wrote the racism never probably experienced racism themselves. It's the same thing with the power struggle, by the way. That's not how it happens. No one looks at you and goes, I need a power fuck. Like that's literally not.
I said that to motivate you. That's why I said in our meeting, I said it to motivate you. It was not. But do you remember, I don't know if you guys had this in high school, or it was, I don't remember if it was elementary or high school, but they were showing you, like, you know, you got to get along with other people. They had good stuff, like, you know, people are all the same. But they had a thing which shows this is you. You know, your neighbor might be black, but the neighbor was dressed like an African with a bone thing in it.
And I remember.
Being more racist than anything else. Yeah.
But I remember being young and being like, are you mental? No one's walking around in Montreal with bone, a giant. This is crazy. Yeah.
It's like rich white people who grew, especially in the US, you see how segregated it is like social, like race and social status. So like rich white neighborhoods are especially like 97% white. There's more Hispanic people in LA than there are white people. Yeah. And
Vatos Locos
for
life.
Only saw white people unless I'm at the comedy club. Like it was...
Yeah,
it was almost uncomfortable, and so I feel like
you were uncomfortable around Mexicans.
No, I was uncomfortable around the fact that I'm like, why is it only white people
here? Don't be racist. The whites are allowed to laugh too.
They don't. That's the thing. It's the people who get offended by jokes too, or like are often,
white ladies.
Yeah, they're white and they grew up with a lot of money, and so they like the probably
I had
the
an
only
offended white lady at my
they've,
show.
They've interacted like they didn't grow up around like different like races or
people are scared of things
and
that are different.
They're scared. Yeah. They don't and they probably on some implicit level think they're better and they feel guilty about that. And
yeah,
then
it's white guilt. Yeah.
And it's like, you've never just like be friends with a person, have a conversation with somebody, just like get out of your house. Oh, cause you just, you know, it's like their hired help is the only time they've interacted with like a Hispanic person. But that, like you walk up in the Hollywood Hills and that's, if you see somebody who isn't white, they're working on the house. Like that is true.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good.
Usually they're Armenian as well, right? Armenians are everywhere.
Do you remember Ozzy Osbourne's daughter? When she, it was his daughter, or his wife that was on, I think it was his daughter that was on The View talking.
Okay.
And they go, Donald Trump is a racist or whatever he was talking. And then he goes, for all you people, you don't want Mexicans in the country. If there was no Mexicans, who would clean your toilets? And she's just
she
saying
she was being,
all the demeanor. And then everyone's like, whoa, they don't just clean. Whoa. And then she's like, what? After the commercial break, she's like, look, I'm sorry. But the ones that I know are cleaning shit.
She thought she was being honorable.
So stupid.
There's a comic in Montreal who has a great joke. His name's Randy Comey. He has a great joke about how he was like in his like feminism class. And then like all these women are like, we need to fight back against the patriarchy. And he's like, no, I totally, like, I agree. But like for me, he's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But for you, just stop talking to your grandfather. Like, I mean, I butchered the joke. It's much funnier when he does
it. But
you know, it's like the concept that, and we are guilty of that, white women, for sure.
Who's that guy? There was a fake feminist comedian guy that got called out.
They're all fake, bro. Yeah. If they come out like that, they're fake.
In the LA scene.
They're all fake. The real ones treat everyone equal. The second someone gets up and goes, I'm going to fight for women. No. If you're not fighting for everyone, you're hiding something, you're fucking around.
It's a little suspicious.
Yeah, it's very suspicious. The second you're like, I'm a feminist, bro, you're a dude.
He was doing it just to get laid.
Yeah, but that's why there's still an angle. They have an angle. That's why I only like the people that are like me, the people that are like, no, everyone. I don't give a fuck what you are. I'm going to fight for. I'm not gonna. Yeah. The women aren't getting enough. The black people aren't getting enough. No, that's fucking weird to me. Just fucking be cool with everyone, and whoever deserves it gets it. That's it. Don't be fucking weird. There's something you're hiding. I don't like that shit. I'm always. It's like same thing with super religious people. I'm weary of them.
It's funny when you went like this before.
The ones that are usually
like something
converts.
Cuckoo.
Yeah.
I thought you were referring to the Orthodox Jewish ringlets.
Oh wait,
she went like this before.
I went like
the
that.
The barabaps. Okay.
I don't know.
Is that what they're called?
That's what they're called. The Bada Bops, yeah.
Oh, God. What? Imagine I, like, next time I'm like, Bada Bop.
No, they are. They're the Bada Bops. Ask Josh. This stuff, the Bada Bops.
Okay.
I thought that
not
was...
Not the actual people. The people are called Hasid.
Oh, it's really called the Bada Bop.
The Bada Bops, yeah.
I thought it was like Poseidon making a joke about...
No, that's why Poseidon likes saying it, because Bada Bops is a fun word.
Oh, okay. So it is
you could
real
say
word.
Bada Bop.
It is real,
but not
real
for
word.
Them. They're Hasids. These are the Bada Bops.
I know that.
This
know
is
that
a yarmulke or a kippah.
Yeah. But I meant the actual curls. I didn't realize
the
Bada Bops. Those
when
Bada
I was institutionalized in a hospital this time, another time, I befriended an Orthodox Jewish girl.
Okay.
Oh.
Fascinating.
That was when I was misgiven lithium.
Misdiagnosed.
Yeah, because they thought I was bipolar and shit. Turns out I was just drinking
an asshole.
Alcohol and mixing it with prescription medication.
You're just a degenerate.
Being an asshole. But she was really nice, Orthodox girl. And I guess we found each other because we were the most seemingly most normal-ish type of people there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never spoken to an Orthodox Jewish woman on an extended period of time.
He avoids eye contact with women.
She was 30 she just had her fifth kid.
Wow. Rag.
Yeah.
And but she was she had her, like, I said, what did you do with the celebrities? And she goes, we have our own celebrities. We watch our own YouTube channels.
Of course. It's their own, like, their own really,
little thing.
Yeah.
She goes, it's all about family.
They all
hang out with each other all the time. A family, also, you know, sister-in-law's brother. They go to and from
it.
New York. All that. That's why every time you fly on New York,
the only shitty thing is that your family's Jewish. Yeah. But the rest, bro,
like
is
a,
fucking.
There's like a Williamsburg to Mile End bus for the for the
And they all work at B&H Camera, apparently.
Yeah, oh, bro, can we just say something?
B&H
I'm going to continue joking about Jews in a second.
But B&H is on.
But let us pray to the gods that B&H exists.
Yeah.
And those lovely, lovely Hasids that run B&H. The greatest.
Anything on a trolley comes
out? The greatest fucking. That's the gem of New York City.
But what's B&H?
Yeah, I don't know.
B&H.
It's near Penn Station, 34th Street, Madison Square Garden. It's right behind.
Okay.
And
I order so much.
All this equipment.
The roadcasters, the cameras, the whatever the fuck you want, they have.
Interesting.
First.
Better than Sweetwater? Because I fuck with
Sweetwater. Sweetwater
from around the world.
Sweetwater has a lot of stuff too, but B&H has it first. They get normally a lot of
the workers
breakdowns.
Come in on a yellow school bus.
Yeah, just right in the middle of my sentence. Just come
sorry,
right
I
in
just
there.
Meant to say that.
So they have the breakdowns first also. So there's new equipment that comes out and you're not too sure what the features are, like from road or whatever. B&H will get it first. They're fucking awesome. You can call them. You can ask questions. The delivery is top notch. They never fuck you over. And they're closed on Saturdays because they're Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking awesome.
But and
love B&H, like love those guys.
It's as big as like a Walmart or something.
It's no, it's massive. It's that, but they ship it. I buy it and they ship it here to Montreal.
Well oiled machine.
Amazing.
Is it like good competitive prices?
Absolutely. It's like the Zohan. You know, these
they
Sony have, guts. Yeah, Sony yeah. guts.
Now
that.
The thing is, all those items they always have sales and stuff, but they're never going to be more expensive than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have sales which they're cheaper than anywhere else, and these are high end items.
Yeah.
They're an amazing company. They know what they're doing. I fucking love B&H, bro. I go crazy for them. I saw them when we were in November in New York. We're going sponsored. To the NHL stores. So I could buy shit. And I was like a little kid. I was like, B&H. I was all excited. And I was telling Poseidon, but I didn't want to go inside.
I would definitely get excited like that. Like when I started podcasting, like I got so obsessed with like sound quality and like everything. And you just, the more you learn, the more you like know and want stuff.
Oh,
there's so much stuff I want.
I don't have everything.
Like when it's like a clearly very, you know, diarrhea voice. When it's a podcast with a celebrity that seems to have money, but the equipment is shitty, it bothers me.
Oh, yeah. I know the Zoom stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I hate. I'm watching CTV News. They're talking about the war in Ukraine. The guy's on Skype, like frozen. Like,
I have better.
But it's very hard. The information out there is so like, there's so much information that's misleading. Like really, you just like, and it took me 2 years to figure it out. You just like need a mixer.
Yeah.
And you need a good microphone and some XLR cables and you're good.
The number one thing for podcasts, and I've told you, and hopefully you remember, the number one thing is audio.
Yeah.
But a lot of them have quality. These shitty microphones. Yeah. You hear like this. Yeah, no. And no matter how good the video is, even if it's 8K, if the audio is shit, the human brain cannot continue listening.
No.
It'll stop.
No.
Audio
it'll
first
stop.
And then video.
Yeah. And don't buy your stuff at the pharmacy.
Well, it depends. You could start off at the pharmacy. Like when my first podcast, 2010, the 4-H podcast, when we started that, one of the first podcasts in Quebec, it was in Homer and Alex's basement. I had bought a Logitech microphone that was shit for one person and we were five guys around it. So the audio was garbage. And then, you know, the years went, I learned. And
Same. Like, with Human Raccoons, it was like, it started and it was so bad. And then we just kept getting, it got a little bit better, but then still bad. And then finally I figured it out when I figured out that you just need to buy a fucking mixer and some good microphones.
This is a mixer.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do it through the Zoom because online, that's what it says. It's like, all you need to start a podcast.
Right.
It's just one Zoom. And then like, it'll just like, pick up everything.
I would
it's
argue
like,
people.
That's not, yeah.
They would ask me for
the way
advice.
At all.
I'd give it to them and they'd be like, but I read here and I go, look, you're going to save $200 today. You're going to realize it's shit and then you're going to spend another. You're going to end up going over because you spent so much money on shitty equipment.
I think I spent $1,000 on sound equipment. I have a whole box at home of sound equipment that I don't use anymore because it was shit.
But no, it just bothers me when I see like you are a journalist for the Wall Street Journal.
That it does bother
me. You're answering a question about the, you know, very important to the world.
Yeah.
Why is it only comedians buy nice equipment? You for the Wall Street
Sound
Journal.
Sound is very,
why are you
very
on the news?
Niche and difficult.
It's pixelated
it's
very,
it's,
right
a,
now.
It's a good skill to have.
Yeah, it's
niche.
They should be better.
They could literally just buy a wireless Go, connect it to their cell phone,
right. Yeah.
And the audio is going to be amazing compared to what they're using now. Yeah. I agree with you.
You probably don't learn this stuff in journalism school, right?
No,
right.
But, like, no, they don't.
But the actual, let's say Fox News, for example. You're Fox News. Well, obviously, it's not real news. It's Fox News. Yeah. But it's the same thing. Fucking CNN. They're all but I mean, they all do the same thing, whether it's CNN or Fox.
It's blurry.
They're so fake that even the journalists, when they're on the street or whatever, a lot of times they have shitty equipment.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, you could spend $150 and this guy's going to sound like a podcast, like pristine.
Yeah.
And they don't do it.
Yeah. Tucker Carlson, he's in 4K.
They're too busy telling your employees to wear skirts.
In studio, he's in 4K, but the correspondent is not.
Tucker Carlson, starting a new show, only on Twitter. That's video streaming on Twitter.
Very cool. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
But his most of people that watch him will tweet. So tweeters, there are a lot less than I thought.
I feel it because I don't really follow Tucker Carlson, but wouldn't he be more like the Facebook, like in the U.S., I feel like Facebook
older,
is more
maybe,
older, conservative, where Twitter...
That's a Bill O'Reilly gang, I think.
Twitter seems more young, woke.
Yeah.
I think he wants people to like engage, and if they're already Twitter fans,
and
he has
got
a Twitter following, he knows that people will like talk about it and stuff. It's a very specific type of person who's like tweeting all the time.
But also, it's a very specific idea to have a show... Yeah. Like an hour-long show on Twitter?
On Twitter.
No one does it, so he's the only
innovative.
One.
It's quite innovative.
It's an accessibility thing. It's like it's making things. It's like Patreon. It's like making things you have, you know, a little bit more.
Tucker Carlson has a good head of hair.
All right, listen. On that note, Sarah Quinn, your links are in the description.
Okay, cool.
People can follow you online, and they're going to see you every week on Comfort Zone.
On Comfort Zone every Wednesday, 8 p.m.
8 p.m., maybe 8:30 if we could change it. Maybe 8:30, who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
I thought it was 8:30. That's why
yesterday you showed up late as fuck.
Bro, I thought it was 8:45. I walked in at 8:45. I was like,
I loved
I'm ready.
It though. She walked in like a celebrity.
Hello.
Like, I'm here, guys. We
you should
start
do
the
it like
now.
Come back next week. Like, do it late
just
too.
9:30 next week.
Yeah.
Mish, your links are also in the description, but I want people to not forget that you have this show coming
Spicy
up.
Spicy Mark Comedy Show. Come. It's going to be great. It's an amazing lineup of comics, all like heavy hitters in Montreal. So, and it's happening monthly. So, come back.
Spicy
if you can't make
margarita.
It June 2nd. If you can't, June 2nd. If you can't make it, then come.
What is
next
it called?
Month.
The Poubelle. The
it's at Poubelle Magnifique, which is 1221 Crescent Street.
What time?
It starts at 8. Actually, we're doing 2 shows, 8 and 10. So if you're doing dinner, you can come to the 10 p.m. If you want to see a show before whatever, before you go get fucked up, come have some spicy margaritas and
then go
on Crescent and have a great night.
And you never know who you'll see in the audience. There could be a Guido sighting. There could be a Pantel sighting, a Poseidon sighting. You don't fucking know.
And we have drop-ins all the time, right?
Yeah. Guido Grasso, JR on Instagram, patreon.com/Pantels. Guido
so
and Poseidon
I talked.
Have the number one English podcast on the channel, The Intellectuals, my favorite show.
Great
so
job.
Check that out. Thank you all. Go fuck yourselves.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. We built this prison cell because we can't trust ourselves.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.